in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree.
There's a light in the window, just salty gals inside.
I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied.
Got the storytelling, ego swelling,
pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. We are Ursula the Sea Witch, collectively.
We are both. Do we start
yes,
just now?
Yes.
Oh no, I'm Katie Nordgren.
I'm Chris Jeffa, and with us today,
it's me, Fatima Dore!
Yay!
Oh my god, she just did it herself! That's against the rules.
I break all the rules.
Of course you do. Fantastic.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks
Fatima
for having
is
me.
An awesome local comic.
And I feel for... like awesome is a strong word.
Well, you're awesome.
And like, a comic.
Yeah, so right. These have this thing separately.
You had a pretty good set on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I laughed a lot.
Okay, that's good.
I was watching from backstage feeling very cool, and I got to watch you on a closed circuit TV. I was like, Fatima and I were on a show together on Tuesday, the Pro-Am at the Comedy Mix. It was my first time ever at the Comedy Mix, which
you did
very
so
exciting.
Great!
Thank you!
You had a great set. Kyle Ooh. Said after you left, he was like, Katie had a good set. The only person, I won't say who it was, he said everybody had a good set except for one person, and it wasn't you.
Okay, perfect. I'm glad I had a good set. I'm slightly scared of Kyle Bottom, so that's exactly what.
He thought you had a good set, so you should ask for another spot.
I will definitely do that because the Comedy Mix so far was one of my favorite shows that I've done. I don't know if it's my best set that I've done, but I think it's certainly really the biggest crowd that I've ever performed to.
Oh, yeah. It's the best comedy club in town for a reason.
Yeah.
Sorry, Yuck Yucks.
Sorry, Yuck Yucks.
Yeah, I did a weekend at Yuck Yucks with Todd Glass, and it was just like...
Oh, man.
The staff were really nice.
Yeah. The staff, yeah, don't get me wrong. The staff at Yuck Yucks, I love the
but
staff at Yuck Yucks Vancouver.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
a weird
stage
setup,
is sort of terrifying. Like, it's so bright. It's so bright. It doesn't need to be that bright.
Yep.
I don't think. The mix is very bright, but it's not nearly as, like... Alien abduction.
Deer in the headlights.
Yeah,
the
like, totally. Mix is like ideal setup for a comedy club.
Because you get to come through a fucking curtain.
Yeah,
which
and then
is
you go back
thing.
Into the curtain.
You like
you don't have to walk through
the
crowd.
It makes a difference. It keeps the mystique alive
it
a little
does.
Bit.
And so getting to hang
better.
Out backstage with people is kind of fun because it's like you don't have to be as quiet as you do like if you're in the audience.
Exactly.
You still have to be pretty quiet, but like you get to like talk shit about people and it's really fun.
Yeah.
We did lots of talking shit. It was really, really great.
This is just making me have such like good memories of like when I was playing music and finally got to play at like the media club when it was still really good and got
like
to like sit
thing.
in the green room in the back as opposed to just like sitting at the bar.
Yeah.
It's just and, same like, thing, oh, different man. Scene.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But like coming through the curtain really makes a big difference.
It's so fun.
I love it.
It's so fun. I love it. I you don't get to do that at Laugh Lines, unfortunately.
Oh my god,
god bless.
No.
God bless. God bless they try.
Oh gosh.
It's so close to my house.
Oh no. Okay, well it's
I feel
close
like
to my house too.
You should try to like really like resurrect the scene there somehow.
Yeah, I hit it off friend wise with Mark Blue, so I think
he's really nice.
He's a sweet pie.
He's
so
really,
I feel like
really
I feel
good.
Like I got young upstart ideas. I think I could maybe
maybe
help. So if it's a little bit background noisy today, all six of you who are listening, it's super hot as it has been for the last couple months. So we've got a fan going, we've got our swamp cooler,
we might
got
be able to
hand
hear us
fans.
Melting.
Yeah. You can hear like sweat dripping off of us. So if there's extra rustling, we're just trying to stay alive here, so please don't be mad. Okay, so, ladies. Am I right, ladies? Ladies, am I right?
You are.
You are right. You are correct.
What about those men's, ladies? No, I'm just kidding.
The men's are not correct.
They're not correct. They are not correct. That is feminism. And that's how we do it. So we do a little check-in.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen each other.
We last recorded with Mr. Stephen Peaver.
Yeah, so
weeks
like
ago.
The last couple, we crammed in a bunch of episodes to make it so that when Katie was away, we would have some stuff. And boy, fuck, am I embarrassed by those ones. The one with Stephen was not so bad, but... The one before where we tried to do two in a row and I just got too fucking shittered. Like, people, if you listen to that, God bless you. And that was a heavily edited version.
Yeah, we'll have to, like, give them a prize.
I left in a lot of stuff.
I haven't listened to
it. Were you shittered while you were editing it?
No. I did some discerning. It was just at the end, it just got off the chain where we just repeated the same thing over and over. We kept trying to end the podcast, and then it was like, okay, let's just do a quick wrap-up of what we talked about, and we did that, like, four times. It was really embarrassing.
Oh, no.
So I felt like we were in the studio, and it was like, do another take, so I copped together the best track. Yeah, it was... something.
Yes.
So
it was an experience.
Bless
we've
you
learned.
Guys. I'm very embarrassed. And so learning after experience. After that weekend of just being an extreme dirtbag, I just had a very good self-care weekend.
Oh, that's
or
good.
Week,
good.
Rather. Yeah. Just like... let my liver do its business and without any kind of interference from
me. Yeah, I feel it's Thursday right now and I haven't had an alcoholic beverage since Saturday and I'm feeling not like, I'm so great, but I'm just like, my body is like, thank you. Thank you. You just spent a week in Portland. You did a lot of things to yourself. It was, there's so much beer there, guys.
And it's so cheap.
Oh, it's so cheap.
Why is alcohol so expensive here?
Why do we drink it everywhere?
Taxes.
I hate taxes.
Me too.
Makes everything expensive.
Why don't you go
here?
Throw some tea in the sea then?
Yeah,
you ate them so
I
much.
Will if I can find some tea.
Just like throw a rooibos in there. Just like,
take that, taxes.
Take that.
And they'll like cart me away to like this mental hospital.
I think you have to do something a little more extreme. Throw a tea bag into the Pacific Ocean.
I don't know. If I saw someone doing that, I'd be like, what's
just
wrong with that person?
The ocean.
This is how guys do it, right?
This is it's just classy. Sounds like a very classy thing, teabagging.
Oh my goodness.
That's how I
if you do it in a British accent.
Teabagging. That's not good. I'm sorry.
Take that.
Yeah, so I overdid
it
pretty bad when I was in Portland. I just got back from Portland.
Tell us about Portland.
I got back from Portland on Sunday after... it's been 2 days in Seattle and then like 8 days in Portland, so I was away for 10. I wanted to do comedy in the States. That was one of my goals in the back of my comedy notebook was to do stand-up in two cities at least that weren't Vancouver year. And I've done that
That's
already.
A good goal.
It's August, and I've met that goal,
yay!
Which I feel really good about, and I'm still going to try to do one in Victoria at some point,
yeah.
Possibly. So
keep
I'll,
pushing past your goals. Just
go to Ratfish.
I would... Okay. It sounds great.
It's great. It's at the place above the... it's in the hotel above Heckler's in Victoria.
Yeah.
It's
that's their main and only comedy club, I think, Heckler's.
Well, there's also a Yuck Yucks now.
Oh.
I haven't been to that Yuck
Yucks. Okay. There's a Yuck Yucks out in, like, Abbotsford. I feel like that would count as not Vancouver.
Oh, no, totally.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a very different scene.
I'd be so different. You know what? I need to bomb. Like, I haven't bombed yet. I've had not great sets. I've had some sets that weren't great. I've had some sets that only got, like, a couple laughs or whatever, and it felt awkward or whatever. But I haven't truly eaten shit yet. And I feel like Abbotsford's the place to do it.
Tell me about it.
And then all that shit can be used to fertilize the cornfields out there.
You gotta do it so then it's not as, like, a scary looming prospect.
Exactly.
What if they love it? What if they love it? They won't. It's all like jokes about feminism and being queer.
Yeah, they'll be like, who the fuck is this lady?
Who the fuck's this dark? You know? Mm-hmm, like, it's not gonna be a good thing.
Someone really needs to fuck her.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what they say.
That's basically what they say. You just need a good man. Like, no, I tried that. It didn't work.
Yeah. Turns out penis is not the answer.
Unless the question is, like, what makes it a lot easier to pee standing up?
Yeah.
I guess a shiwi, maybe?
Yeah. Those things work. I learned how to pee standing up without a shiwi in Africa.
Oh, my God.
That's
impressive.
You gotta hold it in a funny way, and then you also gotta push. You gotta push and, like, angle your torso upward so you don't pee on your legs.
Yeah. Katie, who hates peeing in public at all, just thinking of that.
I don't go camping because I hate peeing outside.
Oh, it's the worst.
I'll do it from time to time, but pee outside, that is not go camping. God, I'm not an animal. I'm just kidding. You love to go camping. The last time I peed outside was when we invented this show on the beach in Gibson. So
yeah, it's necessary.
So it's been
to
like a
outside.
Good year since I've peed outside. Yeah. I want to say so. You know,
I'd
like
say
that.
You're due.
I say I'm due. Got a bomb on stage. Got to piss outside. All these things before the end of summer.
You could probably find a way to do both at the same time if you're in Abbotsford.
Oh, yeah.
Just find yourself a good field.
Yeah. Just a good old field. They got a few of them there.
Just all over someone's corn.
Just right
or I was going to say, like...
I got your peaches and cream right here.
If you, like, you bomb and then they say mean things to you and then you go pee on someone's car. Just, like,
What part of their car? Just, like, squat on the hood?
I was just thinking on the tire, just like a little, like...
Just like a dog does.
I don't know. Most people have the window open a little bit. Just pee through the crack.
I think only you're tall enough to do that out of all three of us. And you've got your special, like, African pee trick, and I'm like, that doesn't sound good.
It's true, though. That's a very accurate description.
Oh, my God.
The more you know.
Oh, God. So so Portland, Seattle was kind of, I had a bit of a shit show experience in Seattle, not to do with comedy, but to do with Airbnb.
Oh yeah.
Like I love Airbnb straight up. I mean, I know they're the problematic fave for a company because like they're displacing lots of people who want to rent in San Francisco or New York or Seattle or Vancouver and all these places. And I'm like, the sharing economy, blah, 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 lots of complexities. But I used Lyft in Seattle and Portland, and I used Airbnb, and I was like, yes, I love the sharing economy. I'm a real bastard. So the Airbnb I stayed in was a shared one, but the other people I was staying with did not know that, and they were not happy to see me. And so it was super awkward, because the lady who was running it didn't tell us about the other people who were going to be in there. So just like, it's a surprise!
Bad form.
That's terrible.
So those people
I would demand a refund.
Well, those people got pissed, and they did, and they left, and they got a hotel. So they got a refund, yeah. And then I was like, sweet, I get the place to myself.
That's good, it works
like,
out for great, you. Great,
because they left on the Saturday morning. I'm like, fuck, I got my Friday morning. I got my Friday night. And so that's how I'm living. 10:30 that night, I'm stoned off my tits.
Yay!
No bra on, sitting just in my PJs, my ratty t-shirt, my tiny shorts. The door lock goes. Somebody starts coming down the basement stairs. Do you like my Foley artistry here? And it's a fucking dude, first of all. It's 10:30 at night. He's like, hi, I'm JP. I'm supposed to like be here in the Airbnb. I was like,
the woman did it again.
She didn't tell me that a strange man was going to be entering the house at 10:30 to stay there. She just didn't think to text me or anything. She had my number. Could have just gave me a heads up. Didn't. Terrified me. Mm-hmm. A woman that's traveling so by herself who looks pretty visually queer.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a strange man at 10:30 at night. That's a good thing to
that
have.
That is unsettling as fuck.
So it was super upsetting. I didn't sleep for two nights. And I was really pissed off. But I complained to Airbnb. They just refunded me my money without any, like, nothing. Like,
yeah.
They were just like, so sorry that happened. Super unacceptable. Here's your money back.
Nice.
Like, thanks, Airbnb. And then the rest of my trip was amazing.
That's great. So it worked out.
Yeah, I did a couple. It's all good.
It's a slippery carpet.
Slippery slope.
For we the got listeners at home, I'm a little fat.
So what?
So are we.
Yay.
Fat girl podcast.
Woo.
Boop, boop. I did a couple open mics in Seattle. They were really great. I walked a ton because it's a very, very hilly city. And I also, it's super expensive to take a cab or whatever. And I was just drunk the whole time. So wasn't going to happen. So I just walked like 5 miles home from each of my shows.
Yikes.
It's fine. My Fitbit was like, what the fuck are you doing? No,
like,
it was great.
You're not supposed to walk this much.
You're a fat girl. You're not supposed to do this. But I did.
But you did.
But I did, and it was really fun. And once I got to Portland, it was just smooth sailing. I stayed with my friend Nikki and her girlfriend Anna, and I got to hang out with a pit bull the whole week and this, like, yowly sweet little kitten.
Aww.
And just, like, be stoned the whole time. And I did, like, 4 sets, I think, while I was in Portland for the week. So
nice.
It was, like, nice and, like, a casual amount, but I got to do some networking.
Yay!
So, like, a quick little Portland shout-out, I guess, to Trevor Thorpe, Andy Main, and Barbara Holm.
Go to Portland!
And Chris Katami, all these people who put me on their shows. And
that's
so,
nice.
Were so nice to me. Chris Katami's very excited. I'll give you all the hot tips if you want.
Yeah.
Because Ed Kanye was asking me, like, you got me some sweet hookups in Portland? I'm like, yes, let me be your facilitator.
That's so good.
Yeah, that's what I love to do. So it was just the best trip. Like, it was really, really fun. Had a bunch of really good sets.
Community developer witch this week? It's you.
It's me. It's me. It's Katie.
I am a suit. That is a prior knowledge.
Yes. She called me a community developer witch one time.
Yeah, absolutely. She's a real... Chris has an amazing ability to just, like, know who you need to talk to at any given moment. Like, mm-hmm. you want a euphonium? I know exactly who you should talk to.
I could name three people, actually, right now, right off the bat.
Is Mythical Man one of them?
Yes, of course.
Yes, of course he is. That was the Swamp Cooler.
I don't know if they heard that on the podcast.
I heard it.
You probably hear everything.
Probably. It's too late. I've already seen everything. Let's see. What else about Portland? Anything really noteworthy other than the fact that it always is what it needs to be.
Just the main thing that made me feel really happy for you is that you slept a lot.
Yeah.
And you just felt good.
Yeah.
You felt healthy and vibrant and, like, full of energy. And it's like... You know, a lot of it probably had to do with that you were on vacation and you didn't really have anything that you had to do except for be creative, like, so restorative.
Totally.
It made me so happy for you and
that's a good trip.
I was really happy.
Yeah, Katie was like, oh, Portland's my happy place. I was like, would you ever consider living there? And it's like, even though I'd miss you so much, like, I want you to be happy.
I don't think
Chris is a good friend.
She's a good friend. I don't think I want to live in the States unless, like... it was, unless it was like, oh, Katie, you're suddenly super famous, go to Los Angeles, and be like, no, I would totally do it, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
But that's like a 0.001% chance of happening, so, but Portland, what I'd really like to do is maybe take like a leave of absence and go for 2 months or something, and just like get a sublet.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's something you can do legally.
You can, as long as you're not working there.
Yeah, I mean, like, I thought about maybe doing remote work or something, because I think you can do that when you're traveling, or like, because, you don't make money doing comedy, so it's kind of like, if I could just save up enough and do it, that would be a really fun thing to do. So
definitely check it with the government first.
Yeah, well, that's what I was
thinking
about doing.
There's so many comics that have gone down there and, like, I'll just work on the sly, and then they can never go back.
Yeah, I don't want to do that, but I've definitely seen some people, like, go down, do some, like, sizable shows, and then come back, and like, I don't think that they have a work visa, because it costs, like, $15,000 to get one.
No, yeah.
So, I don't really know, but...
You just have to be careful.
Many things to...
The good thing about being in a band is that you can go down under, like, pseudonyms, or you just are the band name, and it doesn't necessarily, like, it's hard to make the connection, but as a solo comic,
so
you're like,
difficult.
I'm going as my name, so then my name is on a Facebook post, or my name is on, like, whatever, poster, promo.
For me, I think the fact that I'm an amateur comic is helpful, because, like, you really, truly don't make money as an amateur comic. Like, you might make money if you work the door, or... if you host or something like that. But generally, if you're doing a feature spot or something, you rarely get paid. Our show tries to pay all of our features, but that's just because we're better than everyone. not at everything, just at management, probably. We also have a really nice venue to work with. Comedy socialists. So I think that's it for Portland, just that my drive back fucking sucked, and coming back had the worst, like, reacclimatization ever. Like, it was just so hard to come back. I was just mad at everybody for about 2 days.
Yeah.
Like, no. I cried going over the bridge, like, where you go, just, like, you leave Portland, and immediately you're outside of the state, right? Like, you're immediately in Washington, and you go over the bridge, and it's like, now leaving Oregon, entering Washington. I was like, it was so ugly.
Aww. Washington cannot be left alone with those
devices. Oh, God, are you making more Hamilton references?
Of course I am.
Oh, my God, I love Hamilton!
Oh, yay! Okay, because when Steve Venegas was on, he and Chris were all about Hamilton. And I was like, I don't really like it yet.
It's the best.
It's pretty fucking good.
We did cover this in our drunk episode as
I'm sure we did.
I had to cut out a lot of you yelling, Hamilton!
Hamilton!
Because it cut out the mic constantly.
Hey, you know what? Fuck you.
I
he knows what to
a...
do in the trench, and he's fluent in French, ami. You're going to have to use him eventually. What's he going to do on the bench, ami?
I said that to my partner... He said something, and we were planning a camping trip.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, so I've planned this, and we're going to do this with food and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wow, no one has, like, more resilience or matches your practical, tactical brilliance. And he was like, that's beautiful. I'm like, thank you.
I wrote it myself.
It was all me. Not some guy named Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I know. I was like, that's from musical theater. He's like, oh, God.
Oh, God, I liked it. Ooh.
I've made Ed cringe so much this week. I actually said as well, there was a dog in a coffee shop, and I was like, Ed, I'm going to say something weird. He's like, okay. I'm like, that dog looks like a dog that I follow on Instagram. And then he just didn't talk to me for a really long time.
What? I love it.
What an old grump.
I know. It's great. He uses Instagram, but he probably doesn't follow cute dogs on there.
I follow a lot of dogs and cats. I follow more cats than dogs, though. But I do love dogs.
Yes.
Well, I'm very glad we cleared that up.
Let us be clear.
Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds good.
I wrote a parody song for Weird Al Karaoke.
Tell us.
About Hamilton!
Oh,
my
God.
I did it to the tune of Hamilton. Because it was like Alexander Hamilton.
Instead of
Alexander Hamilton, I did Kimberly Kardashian.
Oh, my God.
So you wrote like a history of
That's brilliant. My favorite verse was... The not sober, careless poser with too much schoner got a lot grosser by being a man poacher, by being a rod choker, by being a dick smoker, by routine. She's followed by paparazzi in motors.
Oh my God!
That is fucking
You're
awesome.
Brilliant.
Oh
my God, I love you.
Did we do that on our sleepover episode or just when we were having our sleepover? Because we got really excited about how many different things you can slot into a 6-syllable name or statement.
I love Hamilton
and
so much.
We were thinking about like, what about science teachers? Like trying to use
Should we give it away? This is our brilliant sketch idea.
I don't know if it's ever going to come to fruition because I think it would cost a lot to put on because we have to get a school. We have to like... rent a space or something, but to get, like...
You just go to school in the summertime.
It was basically a PSA to be, like, teachers that are not cool enough are using Hamilton to make kids excited about other subjects other than history.
Stop doing that. So we're like, what about chemistry? It could be like, graduated cylinder.
Or we any have other a graduated cylinder.
And there's a million things to fill in her.
just you wait. Just you wait.
Yeah, I was definitely listening to Hamilton on the drive over today. So, yeah.
It is a grand
thing. It's a problem. It's, what is it about musicals that are so addictive about
they're
them?
So
like
addictive.
They're so addictive.
They're my crack.
What are your favorite musicals?
Oh.
Hamilton.
I'd say number one now is Hamilton for sure.
Have you seen it live or just,
no, it's my dream.
What a mean thing to ask someone. Have you seen it live? Yeah, I just spent like the $1,500 that I easily made as a comedian on one ticket.
Yeah, I would though if I had it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now the original cast is not gonna even be there.
Yeah. There was a fucking woman on Twitter, she's really nice, but like she was like, okay, I have a douchey thing to ask. Has anyone that has actually seen Hamilton live, do you want to talk to me? Because I just saw it live, and I don't want to talk about it where everyone can see. I don't want to make everyone think that I'm an ass, but just seeing it live just made so many more things make sense, and I just need to talk about it with someone. I was like,
no!
Fuck you. Yeah.
That is so funny.
I would just send, like, a picture of that, you know, that Pepito, that, like, the frog, the sad frog, the meme frog.
The meme frog? Pepe,
yeah!
Pepito would be his son, probably.
Pepito is the baby one.
The sadder, babier one.
Yeah.
That would be how I'd feel about it. Yeah, well, I was in New York last May, and it was kind of when it was, like, getting to be a thing.
Yeah.
And then it just, like...
It blew
extremely
up.
Extremely blew up. Like, tickets were still available for, like, $400 or $500 at that point.
And I was
like,
now
that seems reasonable. My mom and I were like... My mom doesn't really like hip-hop, so I was like, she might not like, she probably would love it, though, actually. But we ended up going to see Matilda instead, which was excellent. That's Tim Minchin's musical about, you know, Roald Dahl's Matilda, which was great. But she really wanted to see the Carole King musical, and it was too expensive. It was like $300, but she wanted to see, it's called Beautiful. It probably would have been. I love Carole King. So
that's nice.
So Hamilton's a fave. Do you like the classic cheeseball ones, like Phantom and Joseph?
Oh, yeah.
And
I remember
Joseph.
In middle school, we did a rendition of Joseph, and it was the best. And I auditioned for so many roles, but then they only put me in the chorus, and I was so sad.
Oh,
They put it on at my high school, actually, the year after I graduated, and my friend Kelly, who I had been in a bunch of productions with in junior high, got to play Joseph.
Oh, cool. Aww.
And it was like, right around the time he just was about to come out, which was kind of fun.
Donny Osmond?
Well, no, my friend, Kelly,
I thought Kelly was a lady.
No, Kelly's a dude, and it was funny, because I'd worked with him, and he's, like, 2 years younger than me or something, maybe three, and, because in junior high, he was still basically a child, right, just, like, a little bony kid, and then he comes out as Joseph in, like, a loincloth, basically, like a Egyptian kilt or whatever, and I was like, oh no, oh no, you've become a man since I last saw you, this is weird. He was wonderful as Joseph,
aww.
And I'm pretty sure he's still doing musical theater, like,
cool.
10 years later.
That's awesome!
So I think he might be in, like, the gay men's choir or something.
Mm-hmm. We didn't have musical theater at my high school because it was too small. We didn't really have, like, the biggest drama program. There was lots of, like, improv, and we did, like, a play a year, but it was more of, like, comedy and a lot of, like, write-your-own sketches and stuff. But there was community musical theater.
Nice.
So it would be, like, all the grandparents and all the, like, aspiring musical theater people, basically, and then the symphony orchestra, like, but it's from, like, the whole Sunshine Coast.
I feel like
together.
A lot of people who are in their late teens, early 20s, and then a bunch of people in their 50s and 60s.
Yeah, basically. community theater.
Anybody working full-time just can't do it, so.
Yeah, exactly. And I was on the crew always. It was really fun.
Nice.
We did, what did we do? It was The Music Man was the big one that I worked on.
Oh, yeah.
76 trombones.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The Wells Fargo wagon?
Yeah.
I don't like The Music Man.
No.
I hate The Music Man and I hate Oklahoma. I hate any Western musicals.
Oklahoma's not that bad, but yeah.
It's
I like
got
Music Man
I Can't Say No is a good song, and everything else can go away. Sweet Little Surrey with the Fringe on top. No, my mom took me to see it, and we left halfway through. She's like, this sucks, let's go.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, yeah, Brenda, let's get the hell out of here.
That's good, I like that.
Yeah.
Mom knows.
My mom knows, for sure. So,
yeah
musicals, pretty great.
Yeah.
What's your favorite other than Hamilton?
Well, we already talked about this on our podcast.
Well, you know what? You know how often other podcasts bring up the same thing over and over? Like, how many times has Pete Holmes mentioned Dr. Gary Penn, whose book is available now?
Oh, yeah.
I bought it.
Did you buy it?
I'm such a fucking sucker.
Well, I just ordered MeUndies, so I mean, who's to say?
So many years of hearing the same commercial, I never bought a MeUndie.
Well, I was just kind of like, I'm running out of ideas. I can't find underwear I like, so
oh, yeah.
I wanted to come to my house.
No, when I was really deep into Pete Holmes' podcast, because I was working night shifts, and I would just listen to, like, 3-hour podcasts in a row, like, over and over, like, I would listen to, like, 2 or 3 a night mm-hmm. on a 12-hour night shift. I got Dr. Gary Penn's book, and then it was like, people who bought this book also bought Pete Holmes' comedy special and Rob Bell's book, so I was like, yes, yes, and I took a screenshot, I sent it to Pete Holmes, I was like, look at Amazon, you've influenced, he's like, wow, that's so cool, so now I just keep them next to each other on the bookshelf, and they're very, like,
that's unrelated, so cute.
But I like both of them. One's like a real self-esteem workbook, and the other's about Jesus. But like Jesus in a cool way.
I don't mind Rob Bell talking about Jesus. He's cool. He's an okay guy, from what I've been able to tell. But that we do. But what was it though? Just refresh my memory. What was your favorite musical?
Oh, Phantom of the Opera, and like any Andrew Lloyd Webber stuff. Basically.
Right. We did Evita. Talk about that. Evita, I've actually never seen Evita.
Ooh, but
don't cry for me, Argentina.
The fact that you've got a fan too, that you're using like a handheld fan.
It also says hashtag shade on it, which I love. It's a RuPaul's Drag Race fucking fan from the Pride Parade.
Nice.
There's two of them. She has both of them in her purse. And I'm using one.
These are the three fans that I carry with me at all times.
These are the sweet, sweet perks of working for Out TV.
Free fans.
Free fans.
What have you been up to, Fatia? Like, we've been friends for a while.
We've been friends for so long!
And then it was like, oh, you're doing, like, awesome comedy stuff now, and then you're also working on a TV show.
So you knew Fatima before she did comedy?
Oh,
yeah! You didn't know?
I really didn't!
Yeah.
I'm an idiot.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. We met through my,
terrible ex.
I was gonna say, let's just never mention it.
Yeah, that's all the mention he gets.
Yeah, how's it been going? It seems like you're doing really well.
It's so crazy. It's like a whirlwind, because I went from, like, how I started comedy, I used to go see stand-up shows at, like, the comedy clubs,
mm-hmm.
and then I went to see an amateur show that my friend Susie Rossum ran at Goldie's, and it was the roast of Chris Gaskin. And that was a hilarious night.
Did we have Gaskin or Griffin as our host last month? I can't remember. Oh, that's bad. There's too many Chris's in Vancouver comedy.
Yeah, probably Griffin.
But, yeah, it was Griffin. He had a beard.
But Gaskin, it was a fun night. But there were a couple of people on that show where I was like, yikes, if these people can do comedy, I certainly can. So then I talked to Susie after. I was like, hey, Susie, how do I start comedy? And she's like, I run an open mic. I can put you on next week if you come back on Thursday.
Wow, nice.
And so I did. And then I went, and it was okay. But I feel like the thing that really hooked me is that I came up with a line on the spot that made everybody laugh.
Good.
Then I was like, oh, I can do this.
Did I just do improv?
Yeah, I just improvised a line that was better than anything I wrote.
Nice.
So I kept doing it. That's such a short duration between deciding to do it and doing it.
Yeah. It was like a week. Four days, I think.
I didn't do stand-up until I'd already taken a class. Like, I did my first set after taking level one at Instant Theater.
That's a nice way to do it, too, though. It was like a way to work up to the stage.
Babied into it, which is so good, but it's also like, now I'm so scared that something bad's gonna happen and I'm gonna be so mad because I've already, like, kind of semi-established myself as a very new amateur.
Yeah.
So it's like, ooh, now people might actually remember if I fuck up in front of them.
That's fine. I had so many horrible sets. I still have horrible sets. A lot less than my first year. But I still definitely have bad sets. Everybody has bad sets. Mm-hmm. And if you screw up, that's fine.
It is. But I have to do them frequently enough so it's like not just like one show a week and then I fuck up and then I'm just dead till the next one.
Well, totally. You gotta hustle.
The hustle's tough.
It's very tough.
You just go do 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 do
do the hustle.
Wait, we have to stop before we do 8 seconds. We have to pay whoever does the hustle. It's chic. I don't know. No clue.
I'm not paying.
Don't email me.
I'm sorry.
You hear that? We're not paying.
Take that, whatever band did that song. So, that's good. It's good advice to just keep grinding it out.
Just keep grinding. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because there's people who have been doing it longer than me, like much longer. And they're out there doing shows, but they're doing the same jokes, and they don't, like, work on those jokes, and that's also, like, so important to me, is, like, you have to work on your shit. Yeah, you have to change, or, like, what's the point?
I don't even like doing the same set twice. Like, I try to like move at least one joke around so it's not doing the same five or seven all the time.
I hate all my jokes.
I like a lot of your jokes.
I want them to all go away.
Yeah, I like my new ones a lot.
I'm tapped out. I've already said these so many times. Yeah. God damn it.
My cervix joke is still brand new, so it's like it's only about 3 weeks old, so I love it
so much. It's exciting, right?
I love it so much. It's like my baby, and then another baby's gonna come around. I'm gonna abandon this one in a well.
Yeah. I hate all my babies now.
You hate every one of your babies.
Yeah, I lock them all in cages. So I don't want them to come out.
I'm trying to remember. You did one that, like, towards the end, that you did a couple that were, like, that made people so uncomfortable. And I was like, this is my favorite. Because they were like, it was like, oh, is there racial tension in the room right now?
Exactly.
Which is so, like.
People always get weird about that
the
stuff.
The second
in
you
Vancouver.
Say, like, something about going to Africa, and they're like, ooh, and you're like, what?
You're like, hello, I am black.
You can see.
I don't know if you know, but my parents are from Africa.
Yeah, so it's
I don't know if you know, my name is Fatima Doré. Yeah.
No, I'm just wearing a costume right just now. Like, I'm white under this.
Oh, no. Secret Oreo.
Oh, God.
That's bad.
Not so secret, actually. Very obviously.
You do really like pro wrestling a lot for...
Yeah, I used to really love it when I was a kid. But, and then after dating my boyfriend, who's super into wrestling, he kind of got me back into it, but it was never really something I followed in my adult life up until, like, a couple years ago.
Yeah, my wife is so into wrestling, so now I know
so much
about it.
You just absorb it. Yeah. It's just, like, it happens around you, then you just retain the knowledge.
I kind of love it. I sort of love it. I just think it's so funny, because SummerSlam is on Sunday, and I have a show. I'm producing a show that's on Sunday at Big Rock, and... I had asked your boyfriend to maybe host if he wanted to, because he's a comic too, and he's like, you know, I can't, I have a previous engagement, I'm so sorry, he's watching fucking SummerSlam.
He's just watching SummerSlam at home.
I offered him a paid position, he's like, I gotta watch the Wrestle Boys.
Yeah.
I gotta see those Wrestle Boys.
It's the second biggest event of the year.
WrestleMania is the only bigger one.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. It's, I don't know, you're like, Chris is just like, I have no idea.
It's fine. It's just over here.
There's a couple acts that I just love New Day so much.
Oh my god, New Day is so great. I'm mostly in it for the butts.
They have
wrestling.
It's three
mostly
guys.
In it for the butts.
They're three black dudes. Xavier Woods is my favorite.
You
like,
did post something
like,
on Tumblr
yes,
and I was
did.
Like,
he's
that's
so
like
smart.
He's like
a
sexy
a PhD.
Nerd.
Yeah,
he's
an PhD.
Education PhD.
He's
like 31
to
or something like that. He's super young and he plays the trombone in the ring.
Yeah.
It's just so...
It's the best.
And he dresses
the
like...
Best.
He loves anime and goes to conventions and
yeah.
all that stuff. I'm like,
did you know he has a video game web series?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. He's just... They're just so fun. Like, it's just... The idea that these three guys who, like, are so big and tough and they just don't take themselves or anything seriously, but they go and they wrestle so... They're such good wrestle boys. As you do. And they just always have the best, most colorful, beautiful costumes.
Yeah.
They're so... There's just something so joyful about it. It's so anti-attitude era. Like, that might ring a bell for you from, like, high school.
Nope.
No? You didn't? At Sands, which is kind of like a ditchy junior high, everybody was wearing an Austin 3:16 shirt in grade 7. Like, or grade 8.
Oh, yeah. I do remember.
And everybody
Stone
was
Cold,
pulling, like,
Stone Cold, Mankind.
Doing, like, the rock eyebrow.
The rock eyebrow.
Or, like they'd ask you the question, they'd be like, hey, Chris, what do you think about this?
What do I think about
it? It doesn't matter what you think about this!
It doesn't matter what your name is!
No, I don't like it!
That's what The Rock used to do to people.
Do you guys smell that?
I think that's very mean.
Do you guys smell that?
It is mean.
I'm just kidding.
Can you smell that?
I think it's,
I think it's what The Rock is cooking!
What The Rock is cooking!
It was the era where The Rock still had hair, so...
Do you have to pay The Rock now?
Yeah, probably.
The Rock can come and take his payment in kind.
Yes. We'll only do it in person.
If you would like to come and talk to a pile of beautiful, curvy women...
But we must touch you while we're talking.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm a big fan of The Rock.
Yeah,
he's
gotta be.
Charming, charming, handsome man.
He's so cute.
It's pretty good.
He's such a hard worker, which, like, only makes him sexier.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Respect, man. Respect for The Rock.
I just,
I can just talk about The Rock for an hour, pretty much.
I just don't like mean bits.
Yeah, he's not mean now.
Even if it's just, like, interrupting, or, like, so I mentioned working with Todd Glass, he, like, introduced me to Rory Scovel, and he was
Rory's great.
We'll do a bit where we pretend that Rory hates you, and And I'm, like, forcing him to talk to you, and I'm like, I don't like where this is going. And then they did it. I felt so, like, they were being so mean to me. No. I just can't hang with comics, you guys. They're too mean.
Yeah, they're always trying to
I'm
be
just
bits.
Too much of a, I'm too much of a wuss, and, like, take it actually, like, seriously. He was like, and, like, giving me all this attitude. And then Todd Glass was like, it's a bit, it's okay. I was like, I'm legit kind of upset.
Oh, no.
It's like, so cool, it's a bit.
I'm like, such a weenie.
I wouldn't like that either. I know, I just, there's, it's a real, like, it's a thing, and I...
It's like, we didn't have to do a bit. You could have just said, hi, nice to meet you, and then left and never spoken to me again instead of teasing me for 15 minutes.
Right. I definitely have met a lot of very sweet boys in the local scene. Like, there's the guys that I work with, Kyle and Justin, are, like, the nicest men that I've
They're
pretty
nice.
Much ever. They're very sweet guys. And there's a lot of really nice people, and there's people who are really funny who just, like, have a little attitude, like, because they've been working for a long time and they've got egos, so, like, why not? But I don't try to get in with
I don't
them.
Like that.
I don't either. I get it, though. Yeah. Right? Like, I get it, and I know that why they have it, and I don't really respect it, so I don't try to get in with them, generally speaking. I just, like, want to talk to, like, cool people who want to talk.
Yeah.
Who are funny. That's, like, when I walked in and... You were there, and Maddie was there on Tuesday. It was just, like, great. Yeah. I get to talk to two, like,
it's
cool
fun.
Ladies. And
I do enjoy, like, taking the piss out of each other, though. That is very fun, but it's, like, I have to really know you and know
that
you love me and care about
me. Oh, my God.
Me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There has to
like,
be
I
a
can,
level of
You
comfort.
And I can drag each other,
Yeah,
for
I
sure.
can tell, like, Katie, it's, like, shut up and just leave a negative Airbnb review. Like, goddamn
exactly.
it.
Yeah. I can't. What if the lady who was horrible to me doesn't like me?
And then I can just make fun of you for that forever.
Please do. Yeah. I deserve it.
Did you leave a review?
I did. It was negative.
Okay, good.
But it was couched. It was couched quite politely.
Yeah, she's like, I think that some communication could possibly be improved. In the
oh, man.
Katie, goddammit, Katie.
Guess I would have been like, if you go to this place, prepare to be ambushed by strange men in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I would have at least said, you know, like, this was... unacceptable behavior.
I did
whatever.
About that. And then I said some nice things about, like, the place was well appointed. You know, there were some good amenities.
But it's like,
God.
Katie, you gotta think about the people that are coming after you. Like, you wanna help prevent some kind of a, like, terrible disaster.
Well, I was coming back around to, because I got the list of stuff we were, like, maybe gonna talk about here. Well, we didn't really check in with you. Or I guess we did about yourself.
Yeah, I was just saying I had, like, a self-care week because I had a real dirtbag weekend, and, you know, I try to live a balanced lifestyle.
It's good.
Just really swinging the pendulum from one side to the other a lot.
That's how life works, man.
That's how your grandfather clock keeps ticking along.
If it just stayed in the middle...
You'd die.
Yeah, there would be no motion. You'd just be dead. So you gotta keep it moving.
Yeah, back
right?
and forth, back and forth.
But I just, you know, it just reiterates that self-care is really boring. As much
so boring.
As it's lovely, like... I don't know, I just went to bed early and, like, watched some TV shows, and...
That sounds great
to me. It was delightful, but I definitely was like, now I want to do something, and so then, you know, right at the end of the week, wound up, like, going up to the beach and going swimming with people, and that was a sincere delight. I went to Wreck Beach with past guest Allison, and we just, like, swam nude in the waves, and it was...
Oh, God, that place scares me.
Just the nudity, or the stairs? Stairs and nudity.
Stairs, nudity, creeps. Those are my main fear factors with Wreck Beach.
Yeah. I did fall up the stairs. And
my knee
is still my knee's still bummed up. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
That was not fun.
No.
But
that's terrible.
You felt at the end of the day going up?
I don't remember. It was something on the way home.
The stairs is probably on the way up.
Yeah, true. It was something on the way home. Anyway. So again, not so much of a self-care day, but it was because I went and swam in the ocean.
Yeah, you need to be in the ocean as much as possible, and you get to do that all next week.
Yes, so I'm going to go and do even more. I, like, worked all week this week at work, and now I get to go for a week and just to a cabin on a Gulf island.
Where do you work now? What do you do?
I work for a politician.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
I particularly like how you pronounce
Yes,
that.
Indeed.
Politician.
Yeah.
Put the right emphasis on the right syllable.
Indeed. And, like, work has just been feeling a lot better lately.
It's almost like you're getting into the swing of things.
Exactly. It's like, I need to remember that starting a new job is hard and the learning curve is hard. And so sometimes, like, just give yourself some time to ease into it. It's not that you're not good at it. You just need to learn and it takes time. And
there is a curve.
Patience, etc.
Absolutely.
So things are doing very, very well. I'm managing my shit a lot better.
Yeah.
And, like, lots of people are saying that I'm good at it and stuff, so that feels good.
So
I don't know.
Gratifying to hear that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Huzzah.
But I also get some vacation time, which I'm very excited about.
I'm so glad that you get to have a whole week to just go in the ocean, because that's your fave.
Yeah.
I haven't swum at all this year.
Really?
Isn't that sad? I really gotta get in the water.
Oh, man.
Same thing happened last year. Like, I just didn't get in the water till mid-August, and then I did a couple times, and it was good, but I wish that there was, like, a roped-off area. Even though it's gross, I would like to have something, like, because I live in New West, right? I live really close to the Fraser River. I'm like, if there was just, like, something, like, I could just get into some fresh water at any given time.
You could just go run in that water water park with the hammocks down at the dock.
That's true. It's not the same as swimming, mind you, but I could just play in the water park with a bunch of 2 and 3 year olds, because I would, like, because I go by myself constantly. I'll just, like, go, can I get, like, an adult-sized child swimsuit, like, that has, like, the little ruffles and, like, a bumblebee wings on the back or something like that?
Probably.
I would love
There's
that.
There's the internet.
I just, like, go and just, like, stomp on it, and people would be like, is she okay? Like, is she... Do you have a handler or something? I'm like, nope, I'm just a freewheeling lady.
You're just a fun-loving kind of gal.
I just like a child swimsuit with dinosaurs all over
it. Yeah, you're just embracing your inner child, which
is... Yeah, why do the kids have to get to have all the dinosaurs?
Better than embracing other people's children at the water park, probably.
Oh, a million times better than that.
They wouldn't like that very much at all. I don't think so.
Oh my gosh.
It is so hot, though.
Yeah. Do we want to,
How far in are we?
40 minutes? Take a...
Can we... I just have one last gross item on here, and then we could maybe take
a break. Oh, yeah. Oh, and then we can talk about the other Portland thing, too, that... are reconceptualizing our podcast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah,
I love it.
Your yawn was perfectly placed.
That was like, perfect.
Really.
Well, it was just... Okay, so what we started writing down before we started recording today was just the phrase, and I'm very sorry, Mom and Dad, was crushing pussy.
Oh, yeah!
My mom hates the word pussy, so whatever, it's fine.
I'm getting more comfortable with it now, for some reason.
Yeah.
Just saying it enough.
Pussy.
Why were we talking about it on Tuesday? Like, I truly can't remember what started the conversation.
Me
we just
neither.
Kept saying it.
But it became a thing.
Over and over, and it reminded me of something that my friend said in Portland. It was about a guy that she had slept with at some point. She's like, or she was like, I don't think I could ever pick a dick out of a lineup. And I was like, I'm sure I could pick
too.
A dick out of a lineup.
For
like,
sure.
I just memorized that, right? Like, I could charcoal sketch so many of the ones that I've seen in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Mom and Dad. But she was like, I don't know if I could... Oh, wait, no. There was one that I could remember because he had, like, a big, like a port wine birthmark on his penis. So it was, like, a big pink splotch. I'm like,
whoa.
Oh, my God. It was, like, Gorbachev or something. Like, and then I was like, oh, my God. Oh my God, the role playing. Oh my God, you could call your pussy Reagan and then say, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this pussy.
Show Ronald Reagan how you feel.
It's just like some Cold War sex play, you know?
Crush that, Reagan.
Crush capitalism. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Say no to puss. I mean, say yes to puss.
You should always say yes to puss. I guess. I don't know. Should you?
Yeah.
Anyway, that was something that made me laugh very hard while we were down there, and she laughed about it for like half an hour and was like, I can't believe I didn't pull that one out, because that would have been very funny in the moment.
Gorbachev is a bit of a like reference that you have to reach for.
It's kind of a bit of a deep cut for somebody who was only born in the 80s, but I feel like if there's anybody who's like 42 who's listening to this, they'd be like, ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
I also remember the 80s. Oh, man.
I wonder if I could pick a dick out of a lineup.
You probably could.
I just have never tried, like, in a lineup, because it's like, I know the one attached to the person.
Yeah.
But then it's like, and I could recognize, like, from far away that there was a dick over there, but, like, if you had all, like, a bunch
but
of people.
But if it was a dick that you've seen a lot before, you probably recognize it.
I mean,
it.
I imagine.
It'd be like, if seeing it was someone you knew across the street, you'd be like, I know that person.
If it was like, okay, one of these dicks is one you've seen before, and can you pick out the one you've seen before, and do you know who it is? I feel like I could manage that challenge.
I guess.
But maybe not if it was like every guy I've ever slept with, like lined up.
Yeah,
just
match
like,
the dick to the dude.
That would, but then I would be able to like at least go like, okay, well I can see your relative height from where your dick falls.
Oh, but what if they all what if they all stood on different heights of boxes? So
well,
you
then I'm fucked, Chris. And I don't know.
I'm just trying to plan your next birthday party. Okay?
Oh my God, you know exactly what I want for my birthday. Aw, friendship. Is that a good place for a break?
Yeah, sure. All right, we'll be right
birthday.
Back.
Break time!
We're back.
And we're front too. Sorry, my mom makes that joke all the time. I'm just thinking about my mom a lot today for some reason.
That's nice.
Give her a call after
I
think.
And then if you don't do it, she'll listen to this and be like, why didn't you call me?
You didn't call me on Thursday!
She ought to call my mom,
she's
too.
Not,
I call...
She probably won't listen to this, though.
I don't think so.
She might. I don't know your mom. I don't know what she's about.
That's true. I don't know much about her
I don't know what Mama Dora is up to. Oh, yeah. God. It's so dark. She off on a journey discovering herself?
Yeah. No, she's just at home in Burnaby.
That's so close.
It's so far, though!
It's not.
It's very close.
Yeah, I called my mom today as well because I realized I left her hanging. She texted me yesterday and was like, I'm free all day and I'm at my desk, so whenever you want to call. I'm like, aww. I totally will in the afternoon. Forgot completely.
I'm picturing her sitting there like Mrs. Krabappel waiting for Woodrow to show up for their date, which is like, for some reason there's a candle on her desk and it's just burning, down.
Also, why are they having a date at school?
Why is my mom burning a candle in her office at the daytime?
Right, she's burning a candle at one end.
Yes.
In her office in the daytime.
But, so then I called her today and it was very sweet. And she's like, oh, you know, I was gonna retire and all this. And then I got offered this job. And then, oh, I also am probably gonna be a chef, like, at this restaurant in Gibson's, just part-time. And
is she a really good cook? Or?
Yeah, she used to work at a Turkish restaurant for a long time. So that's why she makes fucking bomb-ass spinach pies, man.
I've never eaten your mom's cooking, I don't think.
Haven't you?
She might have made me breakfast.
Yeah, chow mein. She does a really good chicken chow mein thing.
Oh my god.
Oh, I love chow mein.
Hook me up, Joanna.
Yeah, she's a really good cook.
I just love
Yeah, she's great. And so it's just like, mom, like, so after you retire, you now have like 4 jobs lined up. And she's like, well, I'm not going to stop working. I'm just going to retire.
I think you definition of retirement.
Well, retiring from the like solid union job she's had for a really long time.
But then she'll get a good pension.
That's the thing.
She's going to make mad bank.
Mm-hmm.
Make that bank.
But then she's very much the self-sacrificey person. She's like, well, I was offered a job at my same workplace, but it would be excluded. So then I'd make my pension and be working.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, that sounds good. That's what a lot of people do. They retire early. They collect their pension. They go and like work as a contractor.
Yeah.
Because you can't. It's not great in terms of union solidarity, but who fucking cares, whatever.
Yeah.
Get yours.
She did her time.
But, yeah, because she's been working there for, like, 40 years.
Whoa,
and,
yeah.
And, but then Forget she's like, oh, it. But I don't really want to do that because it could be taking away a spot from somebody who could actually really use it and I'd be making my pension. I'm like, you're so sweet, Mom, but also do what you want.
Yeah. Do we get switched at the hospital or
I
something?
Think so.
Sometimes I wonder because I'm so much more like Joanna and you're a little bit more like my mom's in some ways.
But I think it's because we had the opposite mom that we are kind of, so I'm my mom's coach of, like, do what you want, take care of yourself.
Oh, and I soften my mom up a lot.
And you soften your mom up a little
bit.
There you
go.
That's so funny.
I think
complimentary
that's just
daughters and mothers.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. I just think it works
okay.
What's
your mom like?
My mom's real cool.
No, she didn't have to be. She made you.
Yeah. My mom's like the kind of woman that like inspires other African ladies to follow her.
like Oprah.
Yeah, my mom's a Somalian Oprah.
Somalian Oprah.
Like, literally, my mom moved to Montreal a few years ago with the rest of my family, and then they decided Montreal wasn't for them, so they moved back.
This is French bullshit.
Yeah, they're like, no. But when she moved, 2 different families that were, like, single mothers and their kids all moved with her.
What?
Just, like, a whole crew. Like,
yeah. They were like, you're moving. We're moving, too.
It's the heart of the community.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we need you.
And then when they moved back, did they also move back?
Yes! They did.
Is your mom a cult leader?
I don't know. She's very charismatic. I have, like, a
do
small
a lot of, like,
amount of
boxes
charisma.
In the house? A small amount
no,
of charisma.
No, compared to my mom.
Okay.
My mom is, like, this much charisma. If for any of the listeners, I am extending my arms out. And then
the full 6 feet.
I have this much charisma, and it's the width of my thumb and my finger.
Disagree. Although I'd have to meet your mom to like really be. I'm like,
yeah.
Maybe she's the biggest personality
yeah,
on the planet.
The scale that we have is incomplete because we don't have the comparative metric.
Exactly. Trust me, guys.
She's too busy getting everyone to follow her.
Yeah, she'll be at the store and she'll just chat up with someone in the line and they'll be best friends.
Oh man, she's like a guru or something.
Yeah, she's very
I want to follow someone like that. I feel like that would be very comforting to just give it up and just let someone tell me what to do.
Yeah,
you're such
mom.
A mark.
I'm such a mark?
Yeah, like an
like
easy
a mark.
Target.
Like a
oh,
mark.
Okay, I thought you meant like a person named Mark that we know that you think I'm comparable to. I'm like,
no.
The only Marks I know aren't really like that, but no, I'm totally a mark. No, I mean, I am until a point. Like, I can be very convinced for a few minutes, and then I start getting cynical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but the false moment at first, though, is so beautiful. It's like, oh my god, you could solve all my problems. No, you can't. No, you can't. I thought for a second maybe you could, but it turns out they're still gonna be there.
No!
I don't know, cults sound kind of cool.
They do. They do sound pretty cool. I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Sarah Schaefer. Do you know her? She's a comic.
Oh, yeah.
She, I think, tweeted something like, anytime I watch a cult documentary, for the first half hour, I'm like, this is a pretty cool cult. I think I might join.
Yeah.
Last 60 minutes, oh, fuck this guy.
It's always sex and guns just get in there. And
yeah.
Really...
Yeah. Yeah. They'll look.
Guns
out,
and unpaid labor.
Yeah.
Turns out a lot of cult leaders just sociopaths.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Go figure.
Go figure.
It's like, that's the thing that worries me about, like, I would like to have sort of communal living and stuff, and it's like, is one person going to emerge and, like, take over the collective?
Always.
Because I feel like, you know, as much as I am an egalitarian socialist person, like, hierarchies are real.
Yeah.
And, like, people fall into their roles, and, like, sometimes someone that's more of a leader will, like, ascend and start making decisions, and other people will be like, well, we agree, that's very reasonable.
Yeah.
And then you start getting into the position of, like, well, that still sounds, and then eventually it's like, but he's just in charge, and just has always been in charge, so I guess they're just gonna keep doing it.
Hence Stephen Harper.
Basically. Yikes. Keeping it all. Just keeping it all the old status quo.
Yeah.
Not we're shaking it up that. A little. It's yeah. going. Things are getting a little better politically in Canada.
Yeah, symbolically like, oh, anyway, Canada. Which is good.
Mm. Yeah, got, yeah, here.
Yeah. Not our horrible neighbors to the south.
Yeah. Don't make me see, I'm having a really hard time coming up with words today, which is weird because like I'm drinking less and I'm smoking less pot this week.
I think
week,
it might have so something like, to do with the stifling heat.
Oh, possibly, yeah. But I'm having a hard time pulling words in my mouth. I don't want anybody to think that I think Canada's amazing or something. I just think like things have gotten a lot better, at least on a very surface level in the last year. I'm like, oh, this is a lot less terrible than it was for a long time. Considering all the trans protections and everything that's just gone through, like, that's really important to me in my life.
Yeah, it's crazy, like, how much people are against people enjoying their lives, like, regardless of what their gender or, like,
sexuality
their orientation
or whatever,
is. Exactly. Yeah. It's insane to me, like...
Yeah, people don't really know how to manage... This is something I thought about a lot, actually. I mean, obviously, like, my partner is transgender, so it's, like, something that comes up constantly.
Yeah.
Is that people's reactions... get couched as, like, political or religious or just being conservative or whatever. But I think that what people don't really want to interact with is their feelings of disgust that come up. Like, if something is, like, outside of their normal paradigms of, like, how a person is a person, and it's not, like, attractive to them, then the disgust that comes up in them, they need to rationalize that as being somehow morally wrong.
Yeah, but it's not. It's their
issue. Of
course
it's not. Of course it's their issue, but they don't know how to manage the emotional side of it. And so their practical side is like, well, I need to legislate against these people being able to like live freely in public because I don't know how to deal with this feeling.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of fear around like, if this is my worldview, and my worldview is so rigid and so binary... You know, so like clear-cut thinking where it's like, this is good and this is bad, or this is a man, this is a woman, and then you start to see fluidity and nuance and whatever. People are like, but what else is fluid? What else could be weird? Yeah. And what about me? Like, could I? So people start questioning their own stuff. It's like, well, if other people are changing themselves, and I've always thought that I'm like this, but I just sucked it up because that's just how I... knew it was, and I just
had to deal
with that.
I always feel like people
are
projecting.
Very much so.
Totally.
A lot of projecting.
Yeah.
That's really too bad.
Which is sad.
And it's not to say that anyone's, like, closeted or anything like that, and they just need to deal with it, but it's like, you know what? Like, they're just worried that, if I agree to this thing, then my whole worldview and my whole life structure will come tumbling down, and they're, like, scared, and then they get, like, violent-y, acty-outy, horrible shit.
It breaks my heart whenever I hear about... Because I'm friends with transgendered people, too, and... It breaks my heart when I hear about the shitty things that happens to them with, you know, even living in a progressive city like Vancouver.
Sure.
People are absolute shitheads to people that are transgendered.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And it's so sad, and it breaks my heart. Sorry to make everything sad.
Oh, no.
I just got genuinely sad for a second.
This is stuff we talk about a lot. Like, we try to, like, be ridiculous and gross and funny as much as possible, but we also, like, get pretty fucking real because, like, it's our lives, right?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, it's hard to exist as a woman in the world enough. Like, and I mean, I'm a fucking white lady with, like, a decent job, and I have a house and all this kind of stuff, so I'm, like, doing pretty good, but I still, like, get scared.
Yeah.
When I go outside, like, what's someone gonna say to, is somebody gonna, like, follow me?
Exactly.
Or, like, if I am trying to do comedy, like, is somebody gonna just think, like, oh, I don't like this bitch, and then, like, find some way to keep me out?
Yeah.
Right? Like, because I'm mouthy.
Hey, I'm mouthy, too.
I love that's why I like you. Among other reasons.
Yeah.
But it's, like, it's more dangerous for us to be mouthy and to, like, have a public opinion and that kind of stuff. Because other people can just get away with being shitheads.
Yeah. I don't know how they do that.
But you can't be a bitch.
No, you can't be a bitch.
You can be a shithead, you can be an asshole, but you can't be a bitch.
Mm-mm.
Sucks. I want to be a bitch so bad.
Oh, man. It's good. Just keep doing it.
I just keep saying bitchy things really nicely, and then people can't, like, try to not get mad at me. It's really funny, because they're like, I don't like what you're saying, but you're saying it really nicely, so I don't know how to argue with you.
Yeah. Now you just have to have a well put together argument, then people can't say shit.
Yeah, well, they will still, but at least some people will back you up, maybe. But
you'd be like, bitch, shut up, my argument is sound. Do you know what sound is?
No, you don't! It's watertight!
Get out of here!
I wish I could say that sometimes, but it's difficult. You know, that is the thing. You gotta just deal with people you don't like in life sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just accept that maybe you can't convince everybody either.
Oh, that part is hard.
Yeah, that's the worst thing to accept.
I'd really like everybody to just get on board with what I think. That would be really helpful.
That would be ideal.
Ideal. Because what I think is right.
It's that
thing. All right. Welcome to the dictatorship of Katie Nordgren.
Benevolent dictatorship.
It's a very benevolent dictatorship.
But yeah, she just knows what's best for you. Yes. You just have to accept that. And you'll probably be very happy. Oh, we're talking about cults.
Yes. Yeah. This is my goal.
Starting a cult.
I was like, if I had just been born into a more religious family or something, I would probably be a pastor right now. Like, I think that that would be, like, a job for me that I would be really good at. It's just too bad about me all not being religious thing, because that really prevents
me
from taking
that job.
Who
needs God? Not me.
I wish I could just be like a pastor, like the church of being a cool guy or whatever.
Well, you could
like,
join the Unitarians or whatever.
I guess that's the church of being a cool bro. Like,
yeah,
it's just chill.
Right.
It's cool. That's what my parents were married by, a Unitarian minister.
Nice.
Who stole their liquor.
Get
he like took a bottle of scotch from their house.
No way.
They're like,
he's a cool minister.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
It's called tithing, Katie.
It was a tithe. Yeah, a tithe of some fine scotch.
10% of your finest spirits.
Maybe that's
what is a tithing? I've literally never heard that word before.
It's where 10% you give of your income. Yeah, give 10% of your income to the church. So that's what you had to do
that's
in
some Catholic
a lot of places.
Shit.
I was raised Muslim. I don't know what that is.
Okay, what was your joke about like, oh, in the shower?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, one person could see me in the shower. What's up, Allah? What's
yeah.
going
on? Hey.
How you doing? You like what you made?
Yeah. It's
like
fun.
That's a
Nobody's
good joke.
Nobody's ever expecting me to say Allah. That's the only reason people laugh.
Your name is Fatima.
Yeah. No, that's true, but people don't know what it is.
That's a pretty Muslim-y name.
I know, there's a lot of ignorant people in Vancouver.
Wife?
Yes.
Yeah.
As well as the
I know
lady,
a thing or two about the Quran.
You know. My name literally means weaning mother.
Ooh.
I have
it's
never weaned anyone in my life.
For a thing that's just kind of like leaky.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, hey, you got leaky breasts. Your name's Fatima.
Is that what they said to you?
Yeah, that's what they named me. I had very large breasts
big
as a newborn babe.
Big old baby tits. Sorry, that just reminded me of that Donald Trump interview where he talks about baby Tiffany.
Oh, God!
Where it's like, she's got her mother's legs. Time will tell if he's... And he just, like, does the boob.
Ew.
The whole motion.
He's
so gross.
The biggest creep.
What a disgusting...
She must not have, because he never talks about her anymore, and he only talks about how much he wants to fuck Ivanka.
Oh, my God! He's always constantly talking about how he wants to fuck his own blood daughter. It's crazy.
She's very beautiful.
She is, but she's his daughter!
Yeah, he's a monster.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
He is a tangerine
he's on the
nightmare.
Campaign trail. He is a tangerine nightmare. That gif of him, like... hugging her and then looking down and then like putting his hands on her hips and then she walks away is the most terrifying thing I've seen all year.
So bad.
Very
I just
terrifying.
Hate
everything
even hearing
it.
Any of the words that relate to the American election at
yeah,
this
let's,
point.
Yeah, let's just excise that.
Somebody,
all.
Frightening.
Somebody said on something or on Twitter or whatever where it's like, oh, the election in November, and I'm like,
November,
this
yeah.
November? Like,
yeah.
It's actually, oh,
it's
oh God, it's actually happening. Oh, fuck, oh, my God.
It's crazy.
Because it just feels like it's been going on for so long. Like, the Canadian election went on, I thought, for too long.
Yeah,
because
our campaigns are, like, 3 months,
it
whereas theirs is, like, a year.
Longest election period ever at 61 days.
Yeah,
or
see?
Longest in 100 years or
and
something.
And it felt
exactly.
so long. Whereas, like, I'm gearing up for an election in my job, and we're only allowed to campaign for 1 month.
Exactly.
That's it. There's a limit, and you can't, they're very, very, very strict around, like, what kinds of things you can spend money on, like, how much you have to close your office. So, like, I work for the government, so during an election, I am going to be unemployed because I'm technically not a government employee for that month because we don't know who the government's going to be.
Mm. Right.
But anyway, it's just, like, it's going to be a very short campaign season, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, this god-awful nightmare.
Oh, my God.
It's like the whole country just turns camping crazy. Everything's about the camping.
All the comedy is about politics.
Everything.
And then even fucking goddamn, like, I would follow, like, stand-up comedy gifs on Tumblr, and it's just only Donald Trump-related stuff, as in, like, we hate him.
I don't really want to know unless it's Anthony and Tommy Eck or whatever his name is doing Trump. Like, that's
Yeah,
that's
but it's just, like, it's, like, clips from the Colbert Show talking about clips from this and that. I'm like, I don't care. I just want Jones.
I just want it all
to be over.
I thought about maybe being asked to be put into a coma for the next, like, 3 months or whatever.
That'd be cool. But then what if you woke up to a Trump?
Well, that would just be like, put me back. Pull the plug, please. Yeah. Like, yeah, but you're not going to die. Well, there's a pillow right there, so if you
euthanasia?
Could just help me out, maybe.
Yeah, well, in
Canada. Help me, euthanasia.
Yeah.
Come over here and kill me.
And then, like, a superhero named Euthanasia comes and euthanizes
just
you.
Like, a young Japanese boy.
Yeah. Hello, I am Euthanasia. That's not an Asian accent.
That's probably for the best.
That was like a small cartoon boy.
That's
a perfect boy.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, so goddammit, I just don't know what to do for the next little while, and I just wish everyone and our American friends just the most endurance and long life. You can come visit and, like, hang out with us and
marry us and
yeah. Oh, no, here. I don't even mean flee, but just, like,
they're
if
all
you want
to
wanna come for vacation times. There's a lot of land in Canada.
We can get them.
We don't even occupy most of it. There's so much unoccupied land in
it
Canada.
It actually really
crazy.
Boggles my mind because we're, like, Vancouver's in a housing crisis. There's, like, nowhere to rent. It's so fucking expensive. Everyone's crammed in on top of each other, and then it's like you drive half an hour outside of Vancouver, like, into Chilliwack-ish area, and it's just, like, reams and reams of, like, unoccupied land completely, like, I mean, like...
But who wants to live in Chilliwack?
Yeah.
Not me.
I was thinking about it just because, like, Ed's so into fishing, and it would be such good fishing season.
Oh,
like, if we had a car, it wouldn't be too far to drive in, and then
that's
we started, like, driving past all these driveways that are, like, barbed wire fence and 6 beware of dog signs, and, like, trespassers will be shot, and I'm like... Oh, yeah, these would be my neighbors. That would be very scary.
Yeah.
All the libertarians and things out there.
Pretty much. So it's like, you know, you go to a less occupied area, and that's where the people that don't want anyone to fuck with them moves to. And so
that's true.
I'd rather live in a city where we all have to coexist, sort of, together.
As unpleasant as it can be, I would rather have people than not have them.
Mm. Yeah.
It's really, it's pretty simple. Like, I like to be alone, but I can be alone in a room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or something. Like, dealing with people is just part of being alive, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
Unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want
to. I like to think it as fortunately.
You know, but even, like, Vancouver Island, like, it's so beautiful over there, and then I was driving, like, up to the northern part of the island. We just drove for, like, 6 hours straight through, like, same forest. Like, technically, there's lots of space, even just to build small communities, like, in those spots, and it just hasn't happened. There's lots of space, but...
Yeah. Well, I guess it's like it's just the culture of having a lot of people in one spot, right?
Yeah,
like that's so important to so many of us. Like we couldn't do comedy if we weren't living in a big city at all.
No.
Like it wouldn't be possible.
Yeah. Like Skype into a show.
Well, that's what I used to think about like, oh, we could move to Victoria, but I'm like there's like two clubs there. Like
that's it.
And it's not very robust.
Vancouver is a small scene by like North American standards.
It's pretty good.
It's great, but
I think it's I feel like we kind of know everybody, and that's sort of nice.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Or not. I don't know. It depends.
People say it's, like, one of the most friendly ones.
That's funny.
People move here from other cities.
And they're like, this is friendlier?
Yeah, they're legit, like, I've had several people from out of town. They're like...
Portland's way friendlier.
Are you being mean to me right now? They're like, I'm confused. Why is everyone nice here?
Because Vancouver gets the reputation as a city of being, like, stuck-up assholes that don't talk to you.
Yeah.
Mm. Which, like, to me, I don't know, I think it's kind of fair, because I don't talk to anybody, you know, people always, whenever they complain about nobody makes eye contact or talks, it's like, because you're on the bus when you're saying this, like, when I'm on the bus, I just want to be in a bubble,
I don't want to talk to anybody,
I'm coming home from work, or I'm going to work.
I don't even want
to
talk to people I know!
No, that's why I never go down Commercial Drive without headphones on, is because if someone, because I'm... My hair, like,
it's very
noticeable, and people will scream at me from, like, half a block away across the street, and I've got, like, I can't fucking hear them, and it's really the best that I can't hear them, because I, like, I don't want to stop and have a 15-minute conversation.
No, it's the worst.
About nothing.
Whenever I walk down the drive, like, if I'm in a good mood, I'll, like, not have headphones in, I usually wind up getting stopped, like, 10 or 12 times.
Oh, nightmare situation.
But for hugs and people that I like, I don't know, if I'm in a good mood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it really depends, and I've struck up conversations with people on the bus.
Yeah.
I always talk to people if I go to, like, a bar and I'm reading a book. I'll, like, chat with you sitting next to me.
That's
like,
good.
I'm very friendly.
You are.
But if I'm, like, in my commute, or, like, trying to get somewhere, like, no, I'm not going to stop and have a conversation. And so then people are like, ugh, these people are so stuck up. And it's like, because you're not reading the room.
I can't even count how many times I've missed a bus because I bumped into someone on the way.
Yeah.
Totally.
But, like, people can't read the cues necessarily about, like, hey, my headphones are in. Maybe don't tap me on the shoulder and ask me to have a conversation.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be super nice to you. Oh, Vancouver's so stuck up. It's like, no, you just misinterpreted that woman's body signals. Like,
exactly.
And bugged her.
I think we're a little bit... I don't know, I can only speak from my perspective that there is a very small amount of gatekeeping that goes on. I think that these people are like, well, if you're not tough, don't be here, basically.
That's true.
And if you're not willing to, like, advocate for yourself, you can't be here. Like, nobody's gonna hold your hand, really.
Are you talking about, like, comedy scene
Scene in Vancouver, comedy specifically. Scene, yeah. But also, like, probably moving to the city, like, there's no welcome wagon that's going to be rolled out.
I used to be the welcome wagon. It was so fun. We had a spare room in our house in Kitsilano. A little basement suite with a bed. And it would be like, if you move to the city, you can stay with us for a month and until you can find a place. And we had Sunday dinners.
That's
like,
so sweet.
It was like a good acclimatizing place. And I really, really loved that.
But that's not just for random people. That's for people you know, right?
Or, like, yeah, friends of friends.
But, like somebody who's moved to Vancouver. Somewhere in the circle. Yeah. Somebody, say, like, moved to Vancouver from, like... What could we say? Like, if they move from...
Well, from Nova Scotia or
like,
something.
Yeah, from, like, Halifax
or then,
if they moved
then we're
going
to be, like, stuck-up assholes.
Totally. And that,
everyone's so nice in the Maritimes, apparently.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I've never been, but everybody says they love
Justin's
it.
Justin's from Halifax. He's like, oh, God, I'm not going to get anything done the whole week that I'm there. I'm just going to be stopped everywhere on the street, pretty much.
Yeah.
But I think that the scene is, like... It's friendly if you're willing to put yourself out there. Like, it's not good for a shy person. Comedy in general isn't good for shy people, but plenty of shy people are comics.
Of course.
Or plenty of comics are shy people.
Half of us are shy people trying to fake being extroverts. That's me. It's me, guys.
I'm really good at I'm so good at faking it that I'm not sure that I'm not both. Like, I think I'm probably, like, both extroverted and introverted, but I definitely, I have to force myself sometimes to talk to people because I just, like...
Yeah, I have a social media.
I feel like they don't want to. Yeah, you, like, so much quiet puts it back up, and it's really good. But, and that's it is an exhausting thing. Like, doing comedy can be very tiring for that reason. Like, you just get burnt out really quickly because you have a day job, too, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you work full-time?
Full-time day job.
What?
Roots.
And the TV show?
And the TV show.
No, I thought you
and comedy. And a bunch of shows that I run, too. My life is crazy.
How many shows do you run? Oh my God, that's a lot of counting fingers.
Three that I co-run with other people, and one that I do myself.
What are the ones? Tell us about them.
I do Roast Battle on my own.
When did you start doing that?
That I started last year, in the summer. And then it was very successful, and everybody was super into it, and it's the extension, the worked with extension, meaning that I did work with the creators of the show in L.A., Brian Moses and Rel Battle.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're like the Vancouver edition of them, and they're aware of it, and they've said, yeah, go ahead. So I didn't just steal the show from them.
like they invented roast.
Yeah, yeah, well, they invented the roast battle format, so I didn't want to,
it's like, what an innovation.
Yeah, so innovative, so innovative. But it's great, because now, like, they've had that show on Comedy Central.
Right.
This past summer, so everybody's like
so you have that
way more
of
aware of it.
To promote it.
Exactly. Whereas before, it's like I was getting crowds, but maybe not. Like a lot of them were comics that were super into enjoying the show, but now I feel like wouldn't pay. But now I feel like it could be a real thing, and so that's going to be starting up in September again. And then I do the lady show, which is great. Katie's been, and you've been.
I have also been many times.
Both of you guys have been.
I really
friends.
Yeah. I really loved it because I really loved all of those performers separately.
Yeah.
And, like, including yourself and, like, what a great crew.
It's so fun.
It just spoke to my heart of, like, instead of competing against each other, let's all work together and make a super group.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, it's the
really
best.
Good.
It's so good. The last time I went, Katie Ellen Humphreys did, like, character work as, like, an older Janine Melnitz
from Ghostbusters.
And it was so well done and so well timed with the remake and stuff coming out. Like, she just is so, she's very talented.
She's very talented. She's everybody in
I watched her open for Mick Foley once. It was so surreal.
My boyfriend opened that night, too.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I remember that now. At Laugh Lines?
Yeah, Laugh Lines.
Okay, that would have been the first time I saw him, then.
Yeah.
Yes. That's funny. Yeah.
So the lady show is great.
The lady show is great.
It's five of you.
Five of us. We do the TV show, Morgan Brayton and Other People, together. And then we were like, we need to do something that is other than this TV show together. Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the lady show came from.
And it's, like, usually, like, sketch and some stand-up, and then sometimes you'll have, like, another thing, like, another woman doing some cool, like, I saw one that was a woman doing, like, a piece of theater.
Yeah, we always, exactly, we always have a feature guest, and they always do different things depending on what their, like, field of comedy is, whether it's sketch or improv or, like, a theater piece. And it's great. It's a really good time.
I love a variety show format very much. It's like, it's you so mix entertaining. It up with, like, games and shit.
If you don't like
shit,
this, you might not next thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody finds their own flavor in the show. So I really like that. That's, like, one of my favorite shows. But then I also do another show called Comedy du Soleil with my friend Randy Neumeier. Mm-hmm.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, she's great. She's so funny. She's my best friend. And that one is at Café du Soleil, and that's on a summer hiatus for now, but it'll start up again in September.
Can I be on it?
Yeah.
Great, thank you.
And,
subtle. Like a brick to the face.
Yeah, it's ask for what you want, Katie. This is Katie putting yourself out there.
Exactly. I accept.
Thank you. Excellent.
So we'll be starting that in September, and it's a good time. That one's just stand-up. But then I also do another show with Randy Neumeier and my other friend, my other good friend, Essay Atawo, who's an improviser. Mm. And that's, like, my favorite show now is that The List, because it's called The List.
Well, that's your show.
Yeah, that's my show.
Oh, I kept seeing it advertised. I didn't know it was yours.
Yeah, it's me. Me and Randy and my friend Essay. And so the whole concept is that there's stand-ups and they do their lists about whatever funny topic they want. It could be anything, like, previous lists we've had are, like, top 10 things that annoy them, or, like, the comic, or, like, top 10 human jobs that animals should have, or, like, top 10 best, like, places to walk. Like, there's
a
all over the place.
A dog could be a therapist.
Yeah, yeah, oh, man. There's really, really good jobs.
Dogs with jobs.
Oh, so good. And then improvisers do scenes based off those lists.
That's very clever.
It's so clever, and it's like when you're in the moment, and you're there, and you just watch this list, and then the improvisers make magic with the contents of those lists. It's like no other. It, like, makes this crazy energy in the room that everybody's so into it, and every show we've had has been so much fun. And, like, I'm very excited for that show to become more of a bigger thing.
Cool. Where does that happen, at a regular basis?
Yeah, it's always the third Friday of the month. It's been at Havana, but hopefully we're going to be moving into Little Mountain Gallery soon.
Nice.
I have not discussed this with either parties. hopefully Alistair doesn't listen to this podcast.
Oh, I'm sure he does not. Yeah. He's a busy dude. Yeah. I can't even get him to email me back, so.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
That's fine. It wasn't actually something that required a reply. It was largely just complimenting him.
Yeah, you'll see it eventually.
So you do the list, you do the ladies show, you do roast battles.
And Comedy du Soleil. So many shows.
We'll put links to those. What I love about Vancouver is that there's so many, like, shows just in random restaurants and that pop up on a pretty regular basis. So, like, you could find, if you're into stand-up comedy or other kinds of cool comedic things, like, there are so many innovative shows that aren't just at the Comedy Mix or Yuck Yucks.
Totally.
Like, you can go to a lot of different places, and there's, like, a roster all over the city.
There's so many awesome independent
it's
shows
very
in
exciting.
Town.
So,
that's so cool.
I feel like that's a Vancouver thing a little bit, and I'm sure this happens in every big city.
Yeah.
Because some of the bigger venues start to get shut down because of rent or whatever, and it's like, well, I guess we just have to make our own thing in this little weird cafe or
exactly.
this little studio. Yeah. We had to do that with music all the time, where it's like, oh, the Railway Club is closing down.
Oh, that's made me so sad.
Or, like,
should have a funeral for
you know,
it.
The Marine Club closed, like, all these
the
different...
The Marine Club closed?
A long time ago.
Oh, yeah, no, that was a long time. I only went there once, and it was definitely for a rockabilly show.
But, like, you know, like, all these bigger venues were closing down, and so then it was, like, more house concerts, more...
Secret shows.
Yeah, shows and, like, the studio space that you can't tell anybody about. Just give them the vague address. Like, which
Gavin
is kind of... It's hard to give...
Yeah.
It's hard to give, like, to get, like, good walk-in crowds for those shows, but then it's, like, they're kind of exclusive and fun and, like...
It makes this weird buzz that people are, like, interested in.
Yeah,
so
totally.
I just feel like that's such a... Because there's, like, all these things are closing down because of housing crisis and rents and, like, all this stuff. Like,
that's so
bad to make our own
pants,
shit.
It would make me so nervous to put on a show like that. Like, I want to... That's why we have such an organized one.
Yeah.
Like, ours is is only monthly. There are three of us producing it, so there's a lot of, we call ourselves Tricycle, because, like, there's, we just evenly distribute
it's the best. That's why I love co-producing shows, is because you have and to you just like, share get to work the with responsibility.
Your friends. Yeah. And exactly. You pick people who are good at what they do, right?
Totally. Like, and if it's a monthly, so much better. Yeah. I can't so imagine easier. Running a weekly.
Well, I tried to do a monthly classical music show, and it's still going on, but it was like, I was co-producing it with a violin player, and she was really into it. She basically brought the talent, and I organized the venue and the promo and stuff like that.
I arranged we would have the menu. Relax, Thomas. It was only three of you.
But so it was really good for it was Classical Revolution. So we were like a branch of an international thing, just like the Rose Battle Analysis for the Vancouver chapter of Classical Revolution. It was really fun, just, like, get together, play classical music, and then when we finally got, like, a home of our own, she kind of had to go somewhere else, and then I kind of had to do all the promo for a while, and I got really tired of it.
It's so tiring.
It wasn't that much work, and it wasn't like we needed a big crowd. Mm-hmm. It was just, like, more for us to get together, but then even, like, musicians stopped coming by, which is kind of too bad, and so then, luckily, Clara, the sidewalk cellist, joined me as well, and now she basically runs it with some other people.
She's great. We should get her on the sidewalk.
Yeah, we definitely will.
Yeah, this wouldn't be very difficult.
Yeah, so, anyway, it's hard work to put on a show. Even if it's, like, the most low-key, whatever. But, like, the monthly show, like, it sneaks up on me. It's always, like, oh, God, it's the beginning. So I think one of the tips that I want to do for myself next time I try to put on a monthly thing is, like, the second or third or fourth even in a month, doing the first whatever of the month, it always sneaks up. Because it's just like, oh, it's suddenly September. Shit, I should have been promoing that all through August.
Totally.
Like,
that's why we do the third Sunday.
Yeah, it just gives you a little more lead time to, like, think of the whole month in context.
Exactly.
We were off to a really good start by having a Sunday show, but now there's another Sunday show that's on. It was previously, there's just, we were only competing with an
What's
open mic.
What's the other Sunday show?
I can't remember, but it's starting this Sunday. So I was like, ooh. But they're competing with, we're competing with them in SummerSlam, and they're competing with us in SummerSlam, and we're already a little bit more established, and we so I don't know what's gonna happen with that, but I was like, fuck, don't you guys do that, and I was like, oh, wait, maybe Crafty thought that we were dicks for having a Sunday show, who knows, but it's a different crowd.
People can go
to open mic entirely.
Exactly, it's mostly comics.
But, like, oh, man, it just feels so hard, too, when it's like, oh, there's so many things already on these nights, but you think that there's enough people in the city to go around, but it's like when you have kind of a niche thing, it's hard.
And most of the people that are like, hey, let's go to comedy, they just go to the club unless they've heard about the show or if they
but
have
so
a friend that told
to
them
go
the
show,
to show.
A show at a restaurant or something.
So much cheaper, and you're supporting independent comedy, which is not making a profit, a business profit off of somebody. This Rattata is just still sitting there.
Just get that Pokemon.
Have you been just using your data the whole time?
Yeah, I have like so much. Much data, though. I have like 6 gigs of data that I never use.
just gigging it up on the Pokemon.
Got so many gigs.
I'm still only level 14 on Pokemon. I just like don't play enough.
I'm so close to 24 now.
Oh my gosh. I don't have it.
Get it!
So, okay.
No, you don't have to get it. unless you want to.
I mean, it seems really fun.
It's so much fun. It's just a fun thing to do on my way to things.
My phone already, like, eats battery, like, it's going out of style. So,
oh, no.
I'm kind of like, I gotta do something.
I ordered a Pokeball charger.
That's exactly
I ordered it! It's coming to my house!
You nerd.
It basically looks like our microphone, but then it charges your phone.
But then it's a Pokemon.
It's so cute. It, like, lights up when you plug it into.
No, is it Stuart Jones who's like, stop calling it Pokemon. You know it's Pokemon.
I call it Pokemon, and I love Pokemon.
It's like, and then somebody else has, like, a joke about sports. Like, you call it sports ball like a fucking asshole.
What I've started hearing is I've been talking to, like, parents that are dealing with, like, you know, school funding cutbacks and whatever, and they're talking about, like, oh, the summer programming, and apparently at community centers there is a thing called sports ball.
What?
And
Don't
know what it is. I haven't investigated at all because I don't care, but at the same time...
It's a good reason to not investigate.
I haven't checked into it because I don't give a shit.
But I saw it on a billboard as I went by a community center, and it was like, sports ball classes, sign up, and I was like, excuse me? And then never investigated further.
Well, you should, because I need to know now.
You know what sport my mother plays and is quite good at?
Sports ball?
Pickleball.
What?
Pickleball, and she'll correct me on this.
Please tell
me. She's not going to listen to
this. It's playing with
a
pickle.
First of all, my parents are huge golfers. Like, they are the most white, upper middle class, retired
super people waspy.
You could pop. Well, I mean, they're cool. Like, they're very yeah. lefty and, like, yeah. nice people, but yeah. Basically, they spend a lot of money on golf and they love golf. They're just like, oh, yeah. golf. Golf and a box of wine. My juice box. My box of wine. My juice box.
Dude, go I love juice boxes of wine. It's
great.
Though.
No, they're great. They're lovely people.
They know how to fucking live.
The only yeah. thing really wrong with them is that they like golf, so. But yeah, no, my mom.
She really
plays...
like golf.
get out.
No.
Get out of your own house. But the thing that my mom plays is pickleball, so she plays it, and it's mostly seniors. She's like, they're fucking good at it, too. They're really intense. But it's basically, you get pretty much something that is like a cross between, it's a cross between ping pong and badminton.
Yeah.
You basically play with a wiffle ball, and you have these rackets that are sort of twice the size of a ping pong paddle. And they have like a frame, but instead of having netting, it's just like hard plastic. Like it moves slightly oh. and it makes like a boom sound. When
yeah,
you do it.
I know exactly the thing.
Now why is this something? I don't know, but she loves it. And
why is it called pickleball?
I have no idea. Well, let's find it out. Let's Google why is pickleball yeah. called pickleball?
Because you get so salty doing it.
It's my natural
hey,
state
Siri,
of being.
Why is pickleball called pickleball?
No, I won't.
No.
No.
Oh, let me ask her again.
Okay.
Hey Siri, why is pickleball called pickleball?
Interesting question, Fatima.
I hate you, Siri.
I'm doing my best.
You unhelpful bitch.
Yeah, she's doing her best.
Siri is like a harried mother, basically.
I'm doing my best, Fatima. By the way, did you know your name means weaning mother?
That would be the bitchiest Siri response ever.
That would be Siri, you C-rag.
I had to teach her how to pronounce my name.
Was she calling you Fatima?
Yeah, I hate it! I hate it when people call me Fatima.
It's not good.
No.
Okay, so your equipment is a wiffle ball and a pickleball paddle.
Why is it a pickleball?
Okay, pickleball is a racket sport that combines elements of badminton, tennis, and table tennis.
Ah, pickle, yes.
Yes, of course. Of course. That's really clear.
Imagine you combine all those three together.
It makes a pickle, of course.
Of course. That's how it works. That is alchemy. It's pickle alchemy. Wait, two, three, or four players use solid paddles made of wood or composite materials to hit a perforated polymer ball, similar to a wiffle ball, over a net. The sport shares features of other racket sports, the dimensions and layout of a badminton court, and a net and rules similar to tennis with a few modifications.
I hate it.
History. Okay, why is it called pickleball, though?
I don't say it's pickleball until people are eating pickles while playing it.
Here we go. Although some sources claim there's a lot of consternation in the pickleball community. Claims that the name pickleball was derived from the Pritchard's family dog, Pickles.
What?
Others state that the name actually came from the term pickle boat, referring to the last boat to return with its catch.
Neither of those things have to do with the game itself.
Wait, here's the final word, though. According to Joan Pritchard, Joel Pritchard's wife, the inventor of pickleball, the name came after I said it reminded me of the pickle boat in a crew where oarsmen were chosen from the leftovers of other boats. Somehow the idea of the name came from our dog Pickles was attached to the naming of the game, but Pickles wasn't on the scene for two more years. The dog was named for the game. That is so boring.
Yeah,
so
that's what a waste of my life right now.
Yeah, like,
thanks, Chris.
All we learned is that.
Are you going to get that time? Oh, are you Rory Scovelling me right now?
Oh, I kind of did. I'm sorry, love.
I'm just kidding. I'm not that sensitive.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say was, what a waste of my time, except I get to hang out with two awesome ladies. Yeah.
What I meant to say. The follow-up.
I didn't know that there were reject people from different boats. That they were like all the worst people from all the boats come to the pickle boat.
And then they send Kyle
to the pickle boat.
They like pick up all the like leftover fishes that you would then pickle.
You got like the shit fish that's pickled
instead of eating fresh.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
Pickle boat. Don't eat fresh.
Well, maybe that's why it's like sort of more marketed as a sport for seniors. It's like, don't worry, you don't have to be at the top of your game to play this.
I don't like
that.
Well,
that makes sense.
Well, don't you? Are you 55 plus? Let's ask you in another few years.
Yeah, fair enough. I could be like my mom and just be like, I'm going to retire and work 4 different jobs. Because I don't know what words mean. I don't think I'll do that. I think I'll be quite happy to retire.
Oh, I love not doing stuff.
I am looking forward to it.
Do you love not doing? You do so much stuff. But you said that you were lazy and that you love not doing stuff.
I love not doing stuff.
What's your favorite kind of not doing stuff?
Reading.
Sort of doing something. What kind of books do you like to read?
Fantasy books.
You're among friends here, Fatima.
Just started reading the Name of the Wind series.
Ooh, what's that?
Brandon Sanderson.
Okay.
The Wind. Write it down!
I am.
The Name of the Wind.
I know that the wind cries Mary. Oh. It's a Jimi Hendrix song.
Oh, you're right. It is. You're right. I should know that. But it's great. It's a well-known fantasy series. It's only partially done, so there's still books
like
to come out.
Is it like dragon fantasy, or like...
It's this crazy... If you might have heard people talking about it.
Maybe.
Like, all the words in it, because, like, there's a thing called Alar, where it's like... I don't know how to explain it. It's like a way you section your brain into different sections that are focusing on, like, keeping something, like, either, like, moving up. Like heat from one place to another, or like holding someone in place.
Or like, is it like psychic magic kind of
stuff?
Yeah,
it is. Like they call it sympathizing, but it's like psychic magic.
Ooh. Sounds a lot like the Maria Snyder stuff.
Yeah, I've been like just binge reading this one author, Maria Snyder, who does like magic study, fire study, like glass magic.
I love
I'm all about that.
Yeah. You probably really like these books. They're really fun to read.
Mm-hmm. I used to read the shit out of Tamora Pierce when I was younger,
when I was in
my preteens.
Yeah, you did.
I read all of her books.
Did you read those? Did you read the Cushiel books?
I read those all.
I'm like, yeah, you did.
Those are sex books.
The sexy books. Yeah, we have a book club episode where we always talk about reading because we're huge readers. So
yeah, read books every day.
Nice.
Good.
I have my Kobo with me right now.
It's right here. E-readers are the greatest thing.
I bought an e-reader for when I was traveling to Scotland, just never used it, and then I lost the charger, and now it just...
But most of them just need, like, a USB 2.0 charger.
I know.
It's just not gonna do it.
I just...
You've given up on it.
I don't know.
Find you a charger.
It was more fun to just, like, request books from the library, and then they come to me at certain times, and then suddenly I get to read an actual book.
Like, the feeling of a book. Sometimes I, like get withdrawal, and I need to read a book.
You gotta, like, huff an old book, like...
Yeah,
like,
get the smell.
Nice,
exactly.
Some dusty book smells
but
real
I do,
good.
I really enjoy the convenience of just downloading a book.
Yeah.
It's so useful. I just use my tablet for it, because I don't have my own e-reader yet. I'd like the idea of one that isn't, like, shiny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is appealing to me, but, yeah, it's also
spending more money. The only reason I have one is because it was a present.
It's a good-ass present, though.
It was the best present I've ever gotten, actually.
Here's the gift of all the books in the world,
if you want to.
I remember seeing a picture of, on a Kindle... It was the chapter or, like, the lines in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy where they say, oh, the hitchhiker, like, the guide was, like, a black little thing with, like, a little keyboard and it could, like, recall anything from wherever.
Any page of any book in the world.
Yeah, and you're reading it on a Kindle and it's just like, oh, yes.
Damn, magic. Douglas Adams. That's so why good. God called him back. It was like, no, you can't give them that information right
it's
now.
Too many
Those
secrets.
Aren't ready yet.
Oh, I love Adams. He's awesome.
So good. I'm more of a sci-fi person than a fantasy person, but I'm definitely kind of coming over to the other side because there's a lot of, like, really good feminist fantasy.
There's so many great authors.
Like Ursula Le Guin.
Oh, Ursula Le Guin's books are great!
Who did, what was it,
Earthsea is Ursula.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, there was somebody else that I can't remember her name, but she was like a lot of really famous women fantasy writers, which are good, and I love sci-fi written by women, like Octavia Butler is my shit. She's the best. Have you ever read her?
Yeah, I totally read her books.
And all her books are so good.
Yeah.
There's another book that I've read.
Bringing out the Kobo.
Bring out the Kobo.
I gotta tell you, but I can't remember the name of it. It's a series, it's the same guy that wrote Name of the Wind series, but it was like my favorite fantasy series that I've read in a long time. But it's a man that wrote it. But still, it's great.
Men can write some good things.
Yeah,
okay.
I guess they're
Men
useful
can write books.
Sometimes.
Men can be fathers. Men can have jobs now. Don't tell them. Well,
Mistborn. Have you guys read the Mistborn series?
No.
As in Born from the Mist?
Like yeah, M-I-S-T? Like Mistborn.
Okay,
I'll check it out. It's great. It's only like 3 books, and it's so awesome.
I love a recommendation. I'm making serious feckin' headway on my Goodreads challenge this year, guys.
Yeah!
Last year I was like, I'm gonna read a book a week, and then it didn't happen, and I felt like shit. And then this year I was like, 35 books, and now I'm, like, at 30, so I was like, maybe 52 this year.
You're crushing your fucking goals this year, my friendo.
Thank you.
It's like, 2016 has been kind of an ass, but...
It's the year of Katie!
Here's the thing, it's a fucking growth year. I was talking to one of my friends in England today, we were just having a little chit-chat while I was at work, where I was just asking how he was doing, and he's like... Like, fine, but I'm really stressed out right now. Like, I'm just feeling really overwhelmed, and, like, I'm not sure if I'm ever gonna, like, get my life off the ground, and I feel like things are changing, and it's hard. I'm like, yeah, I feel that. Like, I feel like it's a growth year, and, like, growth is very uncomfortable, and mm-hmm. at best, growth is uncomfortable, and at worst, growth is incredibly painful. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, we gotta work hard, you gotta sweat, which we're doing in copious amounts right now, mm-hmm. and you have to, like, be uncomfortable, and then you get better.
Yeah.
But it sucks while you're doing it. Like, yeah. it really isn't fun. I love coasting. The coasting after a growth year is the best thing.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You get, like, 2 years to just do nothing after, because mm-hmm. you're like, I did so much, I'm good. And then you're like, oh, no, my life has to change again, because I have to keep growing as a person.
Yeah.
So that's what life is about.
Yeah.
Fuck you, life.
Fuck you, life. Fuck you, life that makes you work, you know, a full-time job and run 4 shows
oh,
and
man,
have
I'm
a TV
so
show.
I'm so tired.
Aren't you just so tired?
I'm always tired.
Yeah. How many times a week do you usually get up, would you say?
Like, for comedy?
Yeah.
On average, like, 3 or 4 times a week.
That's amazing.
This week, 5 times.
God.
Too many times.
And you came here with
no,
us.
No, 6
Thank
times,
because
one time I did a show on 2 nights.
Two shows one night.
See, I need sleep.
By God. That's
Bless
impressive.
You.
And you just fucking... I want to know what you do for a job, but you can tell me off mic if you want.
Oh, no, it's fine. I work in a video game studio.
Which one?
Blue Bat Games.
Oh, cool. Are you, like, a developer, or...?
No.
I just know a lot of people who work in development. My wife used to work for Demonware.
Nice.
Yeah.
My boss probably knows your wife. Because she knows everybody.
Now I'm very curious about who your boss is. Yeah. So nosy. Just want the hot goss all the time.
About every single scene, always.
About everything.
I'll tell you off podcast.
Cool. I just want to feel like I'm at, like, at the central node or something. That feels good. Like, I know who does what.
I love that shit.
Yeah.
I love it. I love knowing who, like, when people...
Being in the know.
People just at my work, like, in general, it's political stuff, so people come into the office and they'll talk about, oh, the blah, 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 and it's all in acronyms, and I'm like, I know what all that shit means. It feels so good.
I feel smart. I'm the smartest person.
And then even if I don't know, I'm very good at just nodding along, and then I research it immediately, and then it's fine.
You know, exactly.
Yeah. So about growth and growth things, I don't know, I just wanted to touch a little bit on, like, Katie, when you were in Portland, you were talking to lots of people about our podcast.
Yeah.
And, like, I was feeling so embarrassed and kind of shitty about the last episode because it was just, like, a drunk pants. And I just kind of felt like, we've gone off track. We're not doing anything.
You've, like, never been embarrassed for being drunk before, and I'm always embarrassed after
I've been drunk,
which is so funny. You, like, don't usually record yourself when you're
drinking. I'm sure it was an endearing and charming podcast.
I bet you it's cute.
There's just one point at the end where you go, Chris, are you wasted? And I go, yeah.
That's so cute, though. It just makes me love you more.
I know, but
your vulnerability,
like,
makes me like you better.
I know. It's just because I really felt like I was overdoing it, too, and so then I was feeling self-chastising, and so then, like,
I'm
sure
know that
you
feel
were being a little more balanced the last couple of weeks has been really good for me.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
just about, like, oh, but we need to, like, get our podcast back on track and, like, have a format again, and, like, but we didn't really.
We've never had
a format. We've never really had, like, a theme, but, like, I would always tell people, oh, it's various stuff, but we were always talking about, like, some of the hard work behind the scenes of, like, whatever job or whatever creative pursuit. Mm-hmm. But Katie, you started talking to people in Portland about...
Yeah, well, people were like, well, what's your podcast about? Because I would just, like, give them a sticker and be like, this is my podcast. Like, what do you do? I'm like, well, I'm a stand-up. I'm a pretty new stand-up. I have a real, like, day job still, and as we all must in Vancouver, basically.
Everybody.
But,
unless you're...
But they're like, what's it about?
I almost said someone.
what I started telling people was kind of like, because there's a lot of really cool, there's more women comics in Portland by quite a bit,
really?
Honestly, because I feel like in Vancouver it's only maybe 25%.
Yeah, there's not that many of us.
It's
less
maybe
than
it's
that, probably.
Maybe, like, maximum like maybe 7:30, but like 70-30, but I don't think it's even that much. Like, it's hard to get a sweet lady ratio, as Amber Harper Young commented on Facebook, like, ooh, this show's got a sweet lady ratio.
Yeah.
It's like, coincidentally, that's my new girl punk band name.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I noticed there was a lot of women down there, and so I was talking to them, and, like, Barbara Holm, who put me on her show, who's a super, super sweet lady, and she's like, well, what's it all about? And I was like, well, it's kind of about the sort of dark intensity of female friendships in some ways. Like, not specific, like, in friendships in general, like, the way that you learn someone so much that you can be dark with them and you can mm-hmm. go to, like, deep, deep places. So friendship in general, females' friendship specifically.
Just because of our interactions. If we have other guests.
We predominantly have women guests. It's not only. It's like, it's
well, you had like the Steve Man on before.
Yeah, well, it's like probably like 70% women guests, I think. It's not necessarily intentional, but we just
I thought you were going to say that Beaver is like 70% woman.
That's his own joke about cuttlefish. Like, he's the one who self-identifies as a bit of a femme dude, so good on him. But yeah, it's like, it's about sort of the stuff that's beneath the surface in friendships mm-hmm. and the stuff that is really valuable in friendships with people that you truly love and trust and can be, like, your full self with.
Yeah.
And then also just, like, how you interact with the art that you do. Like, mm-hmm. again, the behind-the-scenes stuff. Like, the just doing things. Like, mm-hmm. like exploding and showing how hard things are sometimes. Just totally, to be like, this fucking sucks. Like, it's so hot in here. We're so tired. Like, just being honest about things just feels really good. And so it feels like a very... It's goofy. It's very self-serving.
Yeah. But it's
authentic. Yeah. It's cathartic and it's authentic. And people are like, that sounds awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. So
that just made me really happy where it was like, it's not necessarily about anything specific, but it's more about the relationship between like us mm-hmm. and then getting to know our guests if we don't know them. It seems like the dynamic has been like, it's either one of you or I knows the person mm-hmm. and then the other one of us is getting to know that person live in the
room,
which is really cool.
Some of my favorite podcasts are just about getting to know people on the podcast. Mm-hmm. It's just
hanging out.
That's
why I love you made it weird, even though it's a million hours long.
I just love the depth of that.
I usually skip through the intro part.
Yeah, no, we're going on like hour four, like 140. So
well, I guess we're pretty much.
No, but I'm saying I like a long podcast
because
then you can delve into some stuff. So it's like what I would like to reconnect with is maybe going deeper with some of our guests about like, can we talk about some uncomfortable shit or because for a while I feel like I was just being a little more surfacey.
Yeah.
You know? Sure. And so to reconnect with those feelings. Yeah. Authentic feelings.
Authentic.
I don't know. I know that sounds cheesy, but
I'm a big oversharer. Like, I have a real sense, like, I think growing up, I got the impression that my mom could read my mind quite literally. Like, mm-hmm. that there was nothing I could keep from her. She would just be totally aware of it. And even now, like, I don't really feel like there's much I can hide from people.
Yeah.
Because I just have this very expressive face. Like,
you just wear your heart on your sleeve.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can't, I'm not good at lying. I feel like I'll always be caught out in a lie.
No way.
I have to always tell the truth about what's going on for me. I can't even be like, oh, I can't come to your thing because I'm sick. No, I'll tell you exactly why I'm not coming.
I like that, though.
Well, yeah.
In that particular case.
Be like, well, I don't want to be like, oh, you know, I would totally come if I could, but I'm just, like, so, like, I'm sick and I'm busy. I'd be like, you know what, honestly, I'm just kind of burnt out and I really support you and, like, I'll try to make it out to the next one, but I'm just too tired.
Yeah, that's
so
nice.
Much better than lying, though.
I feel like I was getting confronted for a little while with just, like, I am pretty good at keeping stuff a secret and keeping stuff very, like, on the surface and presenting a certain image.
Yeah.
And, like, I kind of was exploding that on a few things, and then that's kind of why when it's, like, I recorded myself being like, I'm a drunk, stupid face. Like, it's like,
ooh, I have to really look myself in the eye.
Yeah, what secrets am I revealing, you know? And, like, I was getting more honest about certain things, but then it was, like, scary.
Yeah.
So, and, like, I'm worried that people are going to hear this and it's going to affect my career and all my stuff, but it's, like, I think people don't give a shit.
I think, by and large, people don't give a shit if you're not hateful. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, worst case scenario is generally, like, someone might reprimand you or something. Like, you're not gonna lose your job or something for these things, I don't think.
No, I know. But so,
definitely
like,
not.
There's just a lot of things being caught up in, like, I've not been feeling super shit hot and I've been trying to, like, hide stuff and I'm very good at projecting, like, a good, cool surface image. So then it's, like,
that's
then
funny.
Then it feels like the podcast has been a little less...
Because of that?
Authentic, because I've been trying to, like, hide all of that kind of stuff. So it's like,
you're back on track.
Just now that I've recognized that.
I haven't noticed that necessarily, but now that you've said it, I could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, going back, like, I just, like, trying to, like, go back through the emotional file. Like bum, 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 bum. Oh, yeah, that did kind of feel a little bit surfacey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's good. Like, we didn't get, Venegas got real deep on the show.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like, talking about dad stuff and mom stuff. And
his baby's so cute.
Oh my god, his baby's so cute.
But like his own family and like but I noticed that like when we were in the second episode, like way into our cups, I was like, oh, and my terrible dad, I don't know if he's still alive anymore. And it's just like, oh shit, that came out. Oh dear.
That's
oh dear.
Funny. And I kind of
my dad's dead.
Yeah. Lucky. Oh.
I know, right?
Oh my gosh. Did he suck?
No, he's great.
Okay, well I'm really sorry.
I'm so sorry. I was part of Bad Dad Club with a few of my friends. We just had the bad dads.
But he was a religious dad, so I'm kind of glad that he's not around for adult life.
Yeah. But so I don't know. So those were some
reluctancies
that I was feeling.
And that's fair. I think it's, this has always been the point, is like, lay bare the process.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Like, just to like, just be like, well, this is how I've been doing, and I feel like maybe I haven't been giving my all in terms of honesty, or like in terms of transparency. And
evolution,
you don't have
guys.
To. You don't have to. Yeah. But if you want to, then I'm happy to encourage you to do that, because I love to spill. I like, once I've wrenched it all open and everybody can see all my disgusting insides, I'm like, I don't have a secret now. Like, nobody can hurt me with anything because I've already laid it all out there.
Totally.
And that's the way I kind of try to live, and it hurts me sometimes. It makes me look over earnest and needy.
I love being open.
It's just
way
like,
easier.
Yeah, it's so much easier. Sometimes I think like my life would be simpler if I had more, but that's the thing is I've been compartmentalizing more over the last few months too. Like I've been not like being so forthcoming about certain aspects of my life with like new people, and I feel like I'm hiding my life in some in some ways. And then I like come back to my life and go like, "Well, what is this?" because I haven't been living this authentically. Mm-hmm. So it just everything feels fake and weird.
Yeah.
You know? Is that resonating with you?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah, and so that's something that I've been, like, I've been crying so much this week. Like, let's get really real. I've been weeping, like, full-on sobbing a lot this week because I've been just, like, digging those things out and going, like, this is what, how did this get here? How long has it been in this garden? Like, let's pull this disgusting, let's take this disgusting, like, turnip out of here and, like, put it out in the, sorry, rutabaga.
Those are my people.
It's rutabaga. I was just thinking of, like, a root vegetable that's hard to pull out of the ground.
Yeah, those are my people.
Rutabaga.
I'm so sorry.
A rutabaga, a parsnip, whatever you like.
Yeah.
But, like, realizing, now that it's out there, now that I've confronted this scary thing, this I'm being very vague because it's quite personal, but, like, now it's like, oh, well, now we can move forward.
Here, like, I definitely had, like, a big cry at the beginning of the week, too, when I realized that I've been bottling up a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, having a lot of, like, puzzling a lot of stuff over in my mind and, like, talking to you about it a little bit and talking to some other friends a little bit, but not necessarily talking to the people that I'm involved
with
that are affected by it. It's like, well, I've made all these decisions.
Tell me
about it. So I guess this is what it is now. And then you tell the other person that's affected by it, and they're like, what? No, I don't think that. Why did you? Ah, like I would have liked to have been consulted on this.
This is a two-person discussion.
Yeah, so I'm really trying to learn more about, like, being more of a team player with, like, people at work and people in relationships and all of those kinds of things, and it's kind of scary because I really value my self-reliancy a lot.
Yeah, it's
we'll support each other
on
through
other
this,
people.
This terrifying journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I think it's good. Like, I do feel like I've lifted a weight off myself this week where I was just
good.
Like, because if you can have a pleasant surface experiences with people while you're doing that, while you're pushing it down, and that's easy to rationalize the pushing it down, because you're like, oh, our surface level interactions are very much easier now that we're not, like, poking at each other.
Yeah,
really.
And this
could,
like,
be, like, co-workers, your partner, your friend, like, any number of things.
Yeah.
But then, you realize, like, oh, I'm starting to, like, not like being around someone. Like, how do I fix that? It's like, oh, you actually have to deal with the problem that's come up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's not fun, and there's going to be tears and maybe shouting, and it's going to be hard, and you'll either fix it or you won't, but it's kind of better than the purgatory of just, like, chilling with a gross feeling.
This is fine.
Yeah.
This is fine.
This is fine, and then that's, like, the
and
little dog
it's not
with
the
fine.
Dog
fire.
With the fire. Yeah.
Yeah.
The dog on fire. This is fine.
So, yeah. So that's kind of what I've been
feeling
like for the last
little
while.
I like the pug flying through the
while.
Air myself.
I'm fine.
That's
I'm
flying
cool.
through the air. Yeah. Yeah.
But I just feel like so many people are dealing with that because those memes are so popular.
Yeah.
And I read that on Twitter, like, everybody
Millennial
seems to be
hell.
Going through that.
2016 is fucking super hard. It's growth year. Growth year for everybody.
Okay.
It is. It really is.
Telling you this right now.
Okay.
This is like
for me.
We gotta suffer a bit.
Well, how do
we figure it out?
How do we support each other while we're growing like this?
Kindness,
being, listening,
reminding people to be tender with themselves because it's very hard to do that for yourself.
I think
for some people, anyway, it's really hard for me to be kind. Like, my wife cleaned our whole house while I was away,
aww.
And I came home and I'm like, oh my god, it's so nice in here.
Yeah.
But I was still able the next day to, like, find dirt or whatever. So I'm like, well, now I have to do this. Like, just because I needed to feel like I was doing something.
Yeah.
And it was like, I couldn't just sit with a feeling and just, like,
of being taken care of.
Yeah, and just, like, process, like, being home and just, like, deal with kind of complicated feelings. Like, I needed to be busy and do stuff. And it was just stupid.
Yeah.
It was really dumb.
Yeah.
And
it's fine.
It just, like, it's fine because I'm a human and that's how it goes. But it's like, oh man, I'm really not good at just being okay with, like,
discomfort.
With being uncomfortable or just, like,
That's a skill you learn, though. Like, it's not something everybody comes programmed with.
Yeah, like, it really, really is hard to not just distract yourself away from the issues.
Yeah, and I can distract myself with stuff that's, like, good, like cleaning.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, I'm a good person because I'm doing something industrious.
Yeah.
It's really just, it's just anything. Like, it's just a tick. Like, it could be, like eating 5 hot dogs. Like, I clean a bathroom.
That's me and chips.
Oh, well, it's also me and chips. Like, I clean the bathroom, then the chips.
Yeah.
I'm a Cool Ranch Dorito girl. What's your chip?
I hate Doritos.
Good. More for me.
Yeah, that's fine. We all eat chips together then. I like all kinds of chips, except for Doritos. They're gross.
I had a Taco Loco finally.
What?
Oh, no.
I flashed back to the first episode.
Yeah, I went out to Taco Bell, and I totally was going to get one. Ed was like, that looks disgusting.
Right?
And
you didn't do it.
And then I didn't do
it. It was like $1.50. They're so cheap. It was pretty good. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. It's a Dorito, but yeah. You like a potato chip more?
I like a potato chip. Generally more than corn chips. I like regular chips.
Really?
I like ketchup with nothing chips on them? With just salt on them.
Wow.
Nice. I like ketchup chips.
Very
I like
Canadian.
Barbecue. I like salt vinegar.
You like it all dressed?
I like all dressed. I do not care for sour cream and onion.
Oh, more for me.
All of the chips I like, you don't like, so this is perfect. We got to go to the same parties.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, you take that into the snack table. I got this end. And we just, like, eat it to the middle like a colony of ants or something.
And then kiss in the middle.
And then we kiss in the middle like Lady in the Tramp.
Lady in the Tramp.
Like, it's the spaghetti line, but it's just, like, 8 bowls of chips. That is the romance that I need
Lady
in my
and
life.
The chips.
Lady and the chips. Ladies in the chips. That could be a really weird YouTube show that somebody would probably masturbate to.
Oh, man. People will masturbate to anything.
Yep. We could leave it at that.
That sounds
somebody might have just masturbated to this episode.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
Yeah,
this is super unlikely.
Don't
though.
Email us.
Don't
Very, very
us.
Sexy episode.
Unless you're Jeff Goldblum, in which case, email me specifically.
Oh, also CC me on that.
Yeah. Okay. Katie at sudo.ca. CC. I don't know what your email address is.
It's fine.
He's not listening.
I love Jeff Goldblum at jeffgoldblum.com.
Yeah, seahagspodcast@gmail.com. If you have anything to add to the Seahags mailbag, no one has emailed us.
No one.
I think it's probably because we keep saying, don't email us.
Do email us.
Here's our email. Don't email us.
Yeah, but email us about, like, nice stuff.
Yeah.
And, if rating iTunes... something?
Yeah, please rate and subscribe and review on iTunes, because I don't know how to, and I would be weird if my own name was on it.
Yeah, that would be nice of you guys, and we had it on a little high note at the end, and then I just trailed off thinking of, like, promo stuff. You
know what? It's all, we're laying bare the process.
Yeah. Rate these lovely ladies on iTunes.
Yes.
Fatima.
So, yeah,
not
in terms
Fatima.
Of, we've already talked about your show, so we'll put some links to them on the blog, and they're regular
the
occurring, and it'll be awesome. So, yeah, we'll see you next week, maybe with more of a, like...
More of a plan, maybe?
Maybe, or just more of, like, some real talk.
Yeah.
Depending on what goes on. I'm gonna be on an island all week, so I'll be, like, so chill when I get back. It's gonna be
Oh my
awesome.
God, I'm so going to the island next weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Fucking A.
Yeah.
Great. Maybe I'll see you on the ferry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.